InfoWars has been shouting from the rooftops for three decades that there is a war for your mind.
This is America. MSNBC, the answer to protect America? What's their answer? Domestic CIA. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I could go for 100 hours here and not cover it all.
That wasn't merely excellent branding. As it is 2026 and the normies are finally listening, a chilling CIA document just dropped into the public eye, exposing the agency's twisted blueprint for total mind control through covert drugging ops.
A few days ago, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, took millions of CIA files that were declassified over a decade ago, but never digitized, never put out to the public, so just the National Archives and released them. Total vindication, everything I'm talking about. These people are psychotic demons. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with free will.
Project Artichoke from 1951 to 1956. The Cold War nightmare where CIA spooks hunted for ways to chemically hijack human behavior, force confessions, and bend the human will without a trace.
In 1953, while attending a CIA retreat, a scientist working for the agency drank a cocktail that had been spiked with LSD. His name was Frank Olson. A few days later, on November 28, 1953, Olson allegedly committed suicide by falling from the window of a New York City hotel room. 41 years after his death in 1994, Frank Olson's family decided to have a second autopsy performed. A forensics team discovered injuries on the body that were most likely caused before the fall. Following lengthy legal proceedings, Olson's family was awarded a $750,000 settlement and a personal apology from President Gerald Ford and the then CIA director, William Colby. And the person named for administering the LSD to Frank Olson was none other than Sidney Gottlieb, by this time known as the Black Sorcerer and Dirty Trickster.
They wanted substances that could be slipped into food, water, booze, cigarettes, vaccinations, and injections to dose entire populations undetected, creating long-term psychological torment like crippling anxiety, deep depression, hopelessness, or outright agitation.
There is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny.
Artichoke pushed hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, aerosols, oxygen deprivation, and every psychological trick in the book to break minds and compel people to act against their own volition, potentially even committing crimes while staying blissfully unaware.
You know, what the CIA really dreamed of was sort of like a drug you could give to someone, get them to commit all sorts of unspeakable acts, and they wake up the next day and they don't remember what they've done.
The American Intelligence Agency had paid for a series of brainwashing experiments under a project codenamed MK Ultra. The tests were conducted in secret in the United States and in Canada at a mental hospital attached to McGill University. Experimental drugs, including LSD, were administered to human guinea pigs.
Regardless of the catch-all go-to conspiracy theorist moniker to explain away the possibility of this recent culture of mass shooters being connected to the CIA's MK Ultra program, it is obvious that the guns cannot murder anyone without a psychotic madman behind the trigger. So one cannot help but look to a possible motive. And every time these possible MK Ultra-tied shooters point the narrative towards themselves, it distracts from the government's corruption.
The United States government has perfected a technological capability. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. There would be no place to hide. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny.
This resurfaced declassified file from 1983, now going viral, proves the deep state's obsession with controlling thought and behavior never stopped. It just evolved exponentially. From Artichoke's covert labs to MK Ultra's university and prison sub-projects, the propagandized hypnosis, to the chemtrails and mandatory vaccinations, to the fluoride in your water.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You know, the Batista family is basically the Brazilian mafia.
They can knock you out of this industry in 2 seconds.
I do millions of dollars worth of business. I like to live a pretty good lifestyle. In case this damn Rolex ever breaks, I won't be able to
play. Hey, there you go.
Scott acknowledges he has to go along with this if he wants to keep his Rolex. It's all about money.
Do I enjoy selling them to him? Not really. But I'm like anybody else. I gotta keep my head on.
We're basically four companies and they pretty much control the market.
And they are buying like all the companies in the United States.
I know.
So they don't have competition.
Because they all pretty much bid the same anymore.
Okay.
The four majors.
Yeah, does that affect your business?
Well, yeah, there's no competition.
You don't know how big they are, right? I don't want to get in trouble.
This video is brought to you by Citizen Journalism Foundation.
James O'Keefe here in CattleCon 2026, Nashville, Tennessee. The big four are all here. Cargill, National, Tyson, and JBS. This is a Brazilian company. In fact, right now, our undercover people are meeting with Cargill at their desk inside.
Who's the best blockbuster this here territory meet at, Sue? Look, I'm curly headed, ain't I? Bow-legged, ain't I? From the saddle to God knows how, when, ain't I?
We're investigating price fixing and market manipulation inside the beef packing industry in the United States. All of the small ranchers seem to be at the behest of this market manipulation scheme, at the behest of the big four. Now, just some context and background, 50 billion hamburgers are consumed a year in the United States, 100 billion around the world, but a lot of the meat from these foreign meat packers are being mixed in with the American meats, contaminating the American meat.
Now, some industry participants describe what they viewed as pricing pressure. One of our undercover reporters spoke to Gustavo Peranos. He's the marketing director at FERA Diagnostics, a firm that helps farmers detect cow diseases and boost herd productivity. Here's what he shared.
Son muy duro para comunicación.
¿En qué es como ellos no quieren hablar con nadie? ¿Y por qué será eso?
No sé.
¿Tú
muy
crees?
Malos.
Ah, porque están cometiendo
algunas cosas. Porque los mercados ellos cerraron, el mercado todo es de ellos. De Brasil, Estados Unidos também, JBS também é mais forte hoje também. Em Brasil também, com o governo, com todo que ajuda. Está todo muito duro.
They can knock you out of this industry in 2 seconds.
Beef prices have climbed sharply across the United States, even as many cattle producers say their bargaining power has declined. At the center of the debate are four companies that control at least 80% of the beef industry: Tyson Foods, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. As federal investigators of the Department of Justice are reviewing this big four, questions are arising about market consolidation into the big four and how it's impacted how beef prices are set throughout the supply chain from the farm all the way to your grocery store shelf. To understand what's happening, we went where the industry gathers, speaking with insiders working across every level of the cattle business at CattleCon in Nashville, Tennessee.
West Virginia, mountain low, team home,
Over the past few decades, mergers and acquisitions reduced dozens of regional processors into four dominant companies. Ranchers from all over the country say that consolidation changed who holds leverage in the negotiations. Industry participants told us that as processing capacity consolidated, selling cattle increasingly meant selling to the same small group of buyers. Because cattle must pass through large packing plants before reaching consumers, fewer packing plants means fewer options for the ranchers.
We're basically four companies, and they pretty much control the market.
Yeah, does that affect your business?
Well, yeah, there's no competition.
Several vendors and service providers told us the reach of those processors extends beyond cattle purchases, shaping whether surrounding businesses remain financially stable when disruptions occur. In theory, these packing plants should be competing against each other for cattle. But several industry insiders told us pricing doesn't feel competitive, but rather coordinated.
Do you think they're doing price fixing at all, or?
I'm going to say yes and no. I'm going to say no because they don't have to, because they're in bed with their other three competitors.
Tyson,
yeah.
And okay.
Scott says JBS is, quote, in bed with the competitors. There's that market manipulation that we've heard a lot about.
They all pretty much bid the same anymore,
okay.
The four majors. They go, okay, you don't bid against me on that, on this bunch. I won't bid against you. But no, they'll beat each other to death all day long.
Really?
It's an open secret here at CattleCon. Everyone's pretty much telling us the same thing, that they're all bed together. It's actually against the law. It is up to the Department of Justice to do something about it. They're admitting, all the vendors, all the ranchers, even the big four, admitting that there's bid rigging and price fixing.
So we're bidding against our own competitive people,
sure.
You know. And when we get all done with them and have to sell them, there's no competition at all.
You know, they say they don't talk to each other, but what they say and what's true are two different things.
Well, good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. James O'Keefe dropping a bombshell report and one that is worthy of your attention. It's a great one. It is one to go look out for. He just posted this yesterday. The full film, obviously, is available right now on his platform, on X. But folks, this was a good one. Why? Well, in case you don't recall, we've reported it here on InfoWars. The Antitrust Division launched an investigation at the request of President Donald J. Trump. Now, that investigation was launched because, well, there's a beef cartel out there. There's four big cartels that are controlling beef prices. And President Trump wanted to know, well, why are these prices still high? Why aren't they bringing these prices down? That is exactly what the Antitrust Division is supposed to be looking into right now. Folks, it is quite the enlightening film. We did have actually a cattle rancher on this program. You might recall just a couple months back before the investigation was launched. And this rancher was telling us specifically what you just heard there. What you just heard there. There was a group, specifically there's one in Brazil, that controls the beef prices here in the United States. And that is the reason why prices have been significantly high for months now. While other industries are reporting a little bit of a drop in inflation and costs, the beef cartels are refusing to budge. And that is exactly what you see in James's latest report. So again, James O'Keefe doing an incredible job. I highly recommend you all check that out and add it to your calendar for this weekend, because he did an incredible job at exposing how they are holding this country hostage. Again, that comes as the president signed an order trying to crack down on all of the beef cartels. There's four significant ones, of course, and so we highly recommend you look into that. But a lot's been going on over these last few days, and thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me while I was gone. But folks, I was in D.C. for a bit. It was quite the enlightening experience, many of you guys know. Yesterday was the State of the Union. We'll get into that with Matthew Marsden, who will be joining our show in just a few moments. In about 15 minutes, he'll be joining us to recap what happened yesterday. at the State of the Union. We'll also be discussing a lot of other things as well. You know, the CIA released documents, and I don't think anyone realizes it, but of course here on InfoWars, nothing gets past us. The latest document that I'll be diving into later in the program shows that, hold on, another conspiracy theory is actually right. The CIA was using and testing drugs on people and trying to manipulate their minds. It's quite obvious. We have the document. It was even prior to MKUltra. I'll bring you the latest document dump that has made its way to the internet after it was recently declassified and posted online by the CIA directly. They're hoping you didn't see this one, but we saw it. And we'll bring you the information on all of that. We'll also be diving into the latest regarding Jeffrey Epstein. As many of you guys know, it's not over yet. Bill Gates actually just recently spoke to employees, and he's admitting to, well, the Russian women angle might actually be true. I'll break down that story for you in just a bit as well. But most importantly, when I was in D.C., I actually met up with a lot of incredible people. As many of you guys know, friends with Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah Gonzalez was on the ground, and she was doing some incredible reporting. We'll bring you that. Well, I'll give you a little bit of a teaser. When I was in D.C. as well, he posted it on Twitter, so I guess I could tease it now. I met up with a good friend of mine, Tommy Robinson, who was able to make his way into the United States. He actually just posted to Twitter this morning about it. He will be sitting down on InfoWars next week exclusively. He'll be joining both myself, Alex, and Harrison Smith, and we look forward to having him in studio. But it's going to be an incredible, incredible discussion, and it was great to catch up with him. So Tommy Robinson making his way into the United States, and he'll be joining InfoWars next week, and we look forward to just that. Also, we'll be discussing throughout today's show a lot that's happening in Mexico, as many of you guys may have saw over the weekend. There was a lot of violence between the cartels and the Mexican government. Jorge Ventura actually went there and was on the ground. He'll be joining us today to break us the latest information that the government, of course, doesn't want you knowing about, but most importantly, the media won't tell you about, because Jorge Ventura is an independent journalist who's doing an incredible job on the ground. We'll also be joined by Ken Silva as well. As many of you know, he is the editor over at Headline USA. Lots to dive into, because that Iranian plot to kill President Trump, well, one of those suspects is actually, well, his trial is starting. His criminal trial is starting. And Ken Silva has been following just that, so he'll be joining us to break down the very latest. And I'll also be joined by Kevin Smith, because we have to do a recap. There was a lot going on in D.C. A lot of brave conservative women. Man, conservative women, I'm sorry, but when it comes to them, they actually are going out there and confronting a lot of these corrupt politicians. I don't see the men doing it as much as the women doing it. You know, we'll talk about Sarah Gonzalez, Alyssa Steinberger as well, we'll also be talking about Kara Castronova, who's on the ground, also confronting James Raskin. So there's a lot of brave conservative women going out there and confronting the corrupt politicians. And it's enlightening. And it's not just Democrats, too. They're also confronting Republicans. So we look forward to that. Oh, by the way, Gavin Newsom, he's a racist. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Gavin Newsom he thinks that he's relatable by telling black people that they're not very intelligent, and he's not very intelligent either. That was literally the way he was trying to reason with them. It's so crazy. But folks, this is what's going on right now in this country. We have Democrats, communists who have taken over, and while they're not very bright, and they're hoping that they come off as relatable, but they obviously just sound like absolute racists, and that's exactly what we're diving into. Okay, let's kick it off with an Epstein update. I know, I get so tired of doing these Epstein updates. I'm like, if I don't see real arrests here in the United States, I feel like I have to specify on that. I'm just over it. Not that I want to let go of the topic itself, but I'm just over it as to, I'm just over covering all these documents, because all it feels like right now is rage bait, because no one's doing anything about this. But take a look at this. Bill Gates obviously is heavily involved in all of this. And so now he has to answer to those who are working for the Gates Foundation. Earlier, which was actually just a couple of days ago, apparently, according to several reports, he had to have a little town hall meeting with those at the Gates Foundation. And during that town hall meeting, he admitted that, yes, he actually did have multiple affairs. Now, he's, of course, only admitting to those with adult women. He claims that he did, in fact, have two affairs with Russian women while married to his ex-wife now, Melinda Gates. He had identified those two women, and I don't know why he does this, as, well, he specifically cited one of them as the, we knew about this, but the Russian nuclear physicist is one individual who he was going out there and openly saying he did have an affair with. And he also admits to having an affair with a bridge player as well. I don't know how a man who looks like Bill Gates is sleeping around that much. Most of the time, the guys like him have to pay for it, but I guess maybe these women were willing participants. Quite strange, quite strange. But now he's admitting to it, and he calls it a, quote, huge mistake. Huge mistake. That's his words, not mine. He tends to just think that these are mistakes. These are intentional mistakes, right? He knows he's a married man. He knows he shouldn't be doing this. And he also refers to his relationship with Epstein as a huge mistake as well. But the reality of it is he knew that Epstein was a convicted, folks, pedophile. And when Bill Gates has to answer for all of this, he pretends like, oh, one of the richest men in the world, that he needed money for the Gates Foundation and all of his global health efforts. And so he claims that he had to develop a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein because he needed that money, because he was going to provide him with the funding. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense, in fact, if you're actually not thinking about it. And that's what he's hoping you're doing. He's hoping you don't think about it. Now, he's also claiming that he never actually visited Epstein Island, and he never witnessed, according to those who were at the meeting, he never witnessed any of the pedophilia and sex parties that were going on at Epstein Island and on other places, which, again, doesn't sound believable because they were hanging out quite a lot. He also acknowledged that Melinda Gates is obviously very skeptical of what his ties were to Jeffrey Epstein. He did that as well. And he just wants to keep all that private. He also believes that his affairs contributed to his divorce. You know, obviously your wife would leave you if you, decided to, after 27 years of marriage, decided to go around and sleeping with women. Again, I don't know how Bill Gates has options, but apparently he does. This is what's going on, though, right now. Obviously, Bill Gates is under fire. He has to do a massive, massive PR push. And so he's trying his very best to pretend like it was just two adult Russian women, nothing more. Because as many of you guys know, in the emails that were recently released, it cites, according to Epstein, Russian girls. So I don't know. This is what's going on right now with Bill Gates. Bill Gates, obviously, is facing several allegations. But it's no surprise that he's sitting here and he's trying to run a cover up. There's also new photos that have been released, and let's get to this. These chilling new photos of Jeffrey Epstein's 18-room Paris apartment. Now, apparently this was purchased back in 2001. Now, these images have just surfaced over at a French news outlet. They were originally taken, though, a part of the 2019 police investigation into these claims that associates of Epstein were actually raping women. Now, again, no criminal charges there, but we do have these images. Now, warning, these images do include, as the New York Post has them in their article, do include sex toys, and they do include a red light massage chamber, which was believed to be used to commit these sex crimes. The guy was absolutely a horrible human being, horrible human being. Also on the walls throughout this apartment were photos plastered of naked women. It's just, he's disgusting. And he also had a lot of animal print furniture as well. Again, none of this makes, they keep telling you that Epstein obviously is a pedophile, but they won't tell you specifically who he was having these sex parties with, who he was out there inviting to his 19-room apartment in France. Obviously, there's sex toys involved in all of this. He wasn't just using those, himself. But they don't want to tell you the truth. And this is the big problem with everything that's being made right now, is everyone's trying to play in this cover-up, as we've seen it repeatedly unravel. I want to get to this. Haley Robson is the woman's name. Now, she's claiming to be an Epstein victim. She was actually yesterday at the State of the Union. And this is the part that had so many conservatives unhinged yesterday, because we authentically do care about the Epstein files. We authentically do care. Again, it was our president who released it, not Joe Biden, but our president who released the Epstein files. And again, we're not happy with how they were released. But when it comes to who had them released, there's no argument there. It was President Trump. Well, Congressman Ro Khanna, Khanna is his name. He's an individual, obviously, Democrat from California, who's been out there and he's been pushing this with Thomas Massey. And again, Thomas Massey, I believe, is doing great work. And I'm 100% on his side when it comes to these Epstein files. He has been trying to apply the pressure because the administration made this campaign promise and he wants them to do right. Well, Haley Robson is the woman who is now coming forward and she's claiming to be a victim. She's been going around for quite some time, though, pretending to be a victim. And I've never really liked it. Why? Because when you listen to her story, she actually admits to being the individual who was helping traffic girls to Epstein. Now, again, she was a minor at the time, it sounds like. But folks, we can't just turn away and pretend like this is a victim when she, in fact, was being paid to do exactly what she did. Take a listen to clip one and the report, the local news report that came out citing her story. Take a listen.
I wanted a fresh start.
Haley Robson says she first met Jeffrey Epstein in 2002. She was an unsuspecting 16-year-old high schooler in West Palm Beach, Florida, when a classmate recruited her.
I was told the more you do, the more you make. I was told, you know, it would be possibly in your bra and underwear, but it would just be a massage.
She says the massage turned into something more when Epstein masturbated and fondled her. When he tried to take it further, she says she refused. That's when he offered to pay her $200 for every girl she brought to him.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Robson says she went on to recruit 8 other girls.
I brought the people that I hung out with.
Did you think you were helping them?
Yeah. When I was 16, I felt like, hey, you know, I made money. Like, do you guys want to make money?
Therapist Randy Kogan has been working with Robson for the last 2 years.
The guilt will never go away. There is not a day that goes by that I don't think about the other girls.
Yeah. So apparently she wants to say that she's a victim in all of this. But folks, she was trafficking these girls to Epstein. I'm sorry, but when a man tells you at the age of 16, even when you're 16 years old, I get it, we do stupid things when we're young, and I try not to hold people accountable because, again, especially women, our brains are still developing. We're not fully developed yet. We don't understand things. But if a man is telling you he's going to pay you to give him a massage in bra and panties, even at 16, that is sketchy. And even at 16, that should set off a lot of alarm bells in your head. So it's quite strange that she's coming out here and she's pretending to be this victim when she, in fact, was the one who's bringing victims to Epstein. To Epstein. Now, again, these aren't accusations that are being made. These are her own admissions. And so the fact that the congressman thought that it was great to bring her to the State of the Union is absolutely insane. How many women did she traumatize? Girls, at the time they were girls. How many girls did she traumatize from what she did to them? Again, a lot of this needs to be looked into, but the reality is how do you invite somebody like that to the State of the Union? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Doesn't seem to make any sense. But again, this is the problem that I have here, right? Because I do believe Thomas Massie's doing this authentically because he cares, because he's a man with a moral compass. But when it comes to these Democrats, they're only jumping on board now because they see that it's a political win for them. There's no other incentive. If there was an incentive, if they authentically did care about these victims, they would have started doing this years ago. But they're only doing it now because they see it as a weakness in the Trump administration, and they're hoping that this will get them through the midterms. And the reality of it's not. It's not. But again, it is a PR media stunt for Democrats, and it's unfortunate it's going on right now. But, you know, I'm always going to side with actual sex crime victims, so that's where I sign on all of this. It's just really unfortunate that this is what Democrats continue to do, because it makes it really hard for me to continue to sit here and to support when we see what they're doing. I mean, when you're bringing in one of the traffickers who probably should be a co-defendant, I've got a major, major issue. I don't see her as a victim. I would argue maybe, okay, we don't charge her because she was 16 at the time. Okay, maybe that's understandable. But then again, how many other girls did she traumatize? Don't tell me that you're trying to stand for victims while you're sitting there and platforming a woman who created other victims. It doesn't actually scream legitimacy to your argument. Folks, in the meantime, head on over right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We're having a flash sale right now on methylene blue and methylene red right now. 25% off the methylene blue, and then it's 50% off methylene red as well. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. And again, when you head on over to the shop, you're going to see all the incredible discounts. When you subscribe too, you also get great discounts, and it's long-term. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you check it out. Again, we have this incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And when you support us, well, you help us stay on air, obviously, but most importantly, you help fund the operation so we can continue to give you the information that the American people need to see, but the media is too cowardly to do. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and support our efforts and improve your health.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We do sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month. You get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
And no nation should ever doubt America's resolve. We have the most powerful military on earth. I rebuilt the military in my first term. We're going to continue to do so. Also, we just approved a $1 trillion budget. We have no choice. We have to be strong because hopefully we will seldom have to use this great power that we built together. It's really called peace through strength, and it's been very, very effective. Our country has never been stronger. My first 10 months, I ended 8 wars, including Cambodia. Isn't it funny? Sick people. Stock market. Let's also ensure that members of Congress cannot corruptly profit from using insider information. They stood up for that, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Did Nancy Pelosi stand up if she was here? Doubt it. I'm also confronting one of the biggest ripoffs of our times, the crushing cost of health care caused by you. Since the passage of the Unaffordable Care Act, sometimes referred to as Obamacare, big insurance companies have gotten rich. It was meant for the insurance companies, not for the people. Serving alongside Sarah that day was Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf. The terrorist shot Andrew in the head, and no one thought he could possibly make it. The two of them, Sarah and Andrew, both shot violently in the head. Neither was expected to make it. They weren't even given a chance, except his wonderful mother, named Melody, who I spoke to the same night, and she was so positive. The doctors thought that Andrew was gone, but his mother said, no, no, Mr. President, Andrew will be fine. He's going to make it. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he was given almost no chance. She said, I have no doubt, sir, he's going to be okay. This was a conversation that I had with her that night, with her son laying helplessly in bed, blood all over. Everybody is praying, she said, sir, he will be okay. The doctors didn't understand what she was saying. And after looking at the results of the damage done, neither did I. She was so strong and conclusive that even Andrew's great father felt she didn't really understand the gravity of the situation. But she turned out to be right. Right, Melody? She turned out to be right. So, Andrew, while you're up, now I'm going to ask a highly respected General James Seward to present Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf and the great family of Sarah Beckstrom with the award created by our late, great President George Washington himself. It's called the Purple Heart. The Somali pirates who ransacked Minnesota remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to the USA. And it is the American people who pay the price in higher medical bills, car insurance rates, rent, taxes, and perhaps most importantly, crime. We will take care of this problem. We're going to take care of this problem. We are not playing games. There is one last living legend to honor before we go. He is one more heroic American aviator. Navy fighter pilot Royce Williams served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, flying more than 220 missions. In the skies over Korea in 1952, Royce was in the dogfight of a lifetime, legendary dogfight. Flying through blizzard conditions, his squadron was ambushed by seven Soviet fighter planes. It was his first aerial combat of the war, and despite being massively outnumbered and outgunned, Royce led the takedown of four enemy jets and almost destroyed the others, vanquishing his adversaries while taking 263 bullets to his own plane and being seriously hurt. His story was secret for over 50 years. He didn't even want to tell his wife, but the legend grew and grew. But tonight, at 100 years old, this brave Navy captain is finally getting the recognition he deserves. He was a legend long before this evening. Royce, please stand up, and I will ask the First Lady of the United States to present Captain Royce Williams with his Congressional Medal of Honor.
It was a beautiful moment yesterday in Washington, D.C. A lot of actual beautiful moments yesterday in D.C. as the president gave one of the longest State of the Union addresses. And there were too many clips to highlight in all of that. I normally wouldn't even pick a soundbite that long and put that together, and I missed out on so much more. But folks, it was an incredible, inspirational State of the Union address, even having some of the most important people that I think in this war against these communists who are trying to destroy our justice system and so much more in the room, the victims of these crimes in the room. And it was very, very interesting. The president started off his speech by highlighting all of his economic wins, which is obviously very big for this administration, something that they have been hyper-focused on. And then he also highlighted a lot other topics as well, like the SAVE Act and the need to pass that. He also highlighted the need to get rid of driver's licenses for illegal aliens. He's also pushing those Trump accounts for those newborn babies. Up to $1,000 is what those kids could start off with, which is, again, an incredible, incredible opportunity for so many. He also was highlighting his war against those, you know, AI data centers that are trying to pop up everywhere, saying that if they want to, these social media companies, start up these AI data centers, that they actually have to have their own electric grid, because he's not going to allow them on the grid. And that's a big one that this administration is pushing for as well. And then, as you heard, he was pushing it back against the insider trading, which so many on the left love to do. Now, obviously, Democrats were unhinged. You heard them there. The Islamists, who are somehow in our government right now, were screaming because they are garbage human beings. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Matthew Marsden joins us right now. He is a contributor for Blaze TV. He's also an actor and a producer as well. And he is here today to react to what we saw unravel yesterday. All right, Marsden, I was going through and watching yesterday, and I was trying to condense this all down into just a couple of minutes. And unfortunately, I got to 6 minutes here, but there was even more that I left out yesterday in the State of the Union address. So what were your thoughts last night when you were watching the nearly two-hour speech?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure. What I'd like to highlight first is, as someone that came here as a legal immigrant into the country, I used to watch things like the State of the Union with envy. I loved when the president would get up there and be patriotic. And I think this was probably the most patriotic of any State of the Union that I've ever seen. And I think, you know, after 4 years of Biden, we really needed something optimistic. We really needed a vision of the way that America is going to be moving forward in the future. And I think that Trump laid it out. I thought it was an absolutely magnificent State of the Union speech. And I'm not just saying that because I am a Trump fan. I think it was. I think that most sensible people would see that. I mean, he spoke for 2 hours, like the longest State of the Union in history. And this guy, I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but I think you'd be hard pushed to find a tougher, more energetic person. I mean, I was watching and I'm like, how can he keep talking? I mean, I was watching it at my house. Then I got in the car, went and picked my daughter up. I got back. I was still watching it. It was really quite amazing. And I think that what he showed there, Brianna, is there's a really stark difference between what most Americans want for this country and what the Democrats do. I mean, for me, it was probably the most staggering thing I have ever seen and should mean that no Democrat should ever, ever, ever get into office again. When they stayed seated, when he asked about, are you going to prioritize the American people over illegals? And they sat down. I mean, that is unbelievable to me. I mean, these people are, let's call it what it is, they're traitors. They're traitors to the United States of America. If you are going to prioritize illegals over American citizens, you should be out of office. It was a disgrace.
Yeah, and Marsden, by the way, you're not the only one who feels that way about this speech. There was a CNN poll that took place immediately after the speech, and when it comes to how Americans feel about his State of the Union speech, 63% said they feel actually positive, while 36% said negative. I think that shows the tone that this country is currently in. Now, obviously, this administration has its flaws, like any administration, and we do criticize those flaws quite often. But this was a moment, this was an opportunity for the American people to celebrate, and that was interesting because I was flying back from D.C. last last night, and I'm listening to it as it's going on. And even from listening to it up in the air to landing to getting off the airplane to getting in my car to getting home with my dog, I mean, the man is still speaking. And I'm like, at what point is he going to stop? We have been so let down by the last regime that they were unable to, you know, prop Joe Biden up there for a couple of minutes. And then that was it. The drugs would wear off and he'd be back to rogue town. But President Trump really setting the bar high with a 2-hour speech last night. I thought it was quite impressive. There was a lot of individuals who were intentionally trying to be divisive during the entire speech. But I have to give credit when credit's due. I want to put up this video of John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, because he's, and I never thought I'd be this way about him, but he is actually one of the most logical members of Congress right now. It's specifically obviously in the Senate, but he's very, very logical. He actually was the only one who shook President Trump's hand. And I think that's very telling. Again, I mean, he is a Democrat. I thought he was going to be far, far left, but he even appears to be reasonable. And I love the fact that President Trump was poking a little bit at Nancy Pelosi as well. There was a moment during the speech too where they panned over to Pelosi and she looked hammered. I mean, her and her friend looked like they were passed out. They looked drunk as a skunk. And this isn't like an over-exaggeration. I mean, the woman is barely holding on and her friend is falling asleep, but it's not because the speech was boring. It's probably because, you know, the vodka martinis kind of dried up after a few minutes. And it wasn't just that too. We're going to go through all the Dems who were very unhinged. There was also obviously Al Green, who was kicked out because, you know, he had a sign that said, I don't even know where he was going with this, but he had a sign. I thought it was an edit. I didn't even know because I was at this point, I'm listening audio only. Black people aren't apes. And I don't know if anyone's ever accused black people of being apes, especially in this administration. Now, I thought, again, this was just an AI photo when I saw it, but it turns out it actually really did happen. And then we had this moment too. I'm going to get to clip 9 because Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were acting like absolute animals during all of this. They're classless women who hate this country, well, because they're a bunch of jihadists. But take a listen to how they were acting while President Trump was speaking.
Who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Now, listen, I'm used to Rashida Tlaib, obviously. You know, the image that's burned in my head, the video of her getting dragged out of one of President Trump's rallies with no bra on, just a hot mess all over the place, is something that I can't unsee. So this is right up her alley. Obviously, Ilhan Omar is very upset as well. No one knows why she's upset, though. Probably because, I don't know. I don't know why she's upset. When it comes to how much money she's made off of all of this, the woman's a multimillionaire. Marsden, and we've given her that golden ticket. You know, the guy who she's married to now was actually married beforehand. She actually has separated more families given the fact that she had an alleged affair with this married man and then he left his wife for her. So if she's upset at anyone and she constantly is going after President Trump for separating families, she's done more than President Trump has. Your reaction to those on the left being a bunch of unhinged animals?
Okay, well, firstly, I'd like to say this. There is no one that loves this country more than me. As an immigrant to this country, I appreciated everything that America has to offer to the world, and I considered it an absolute privilege to be able to come here and to become an American. It is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and we don't need to be turning it into third world hellholes like the places that these people came from. Now, with that in mind, you see what happens when the benevolence of a country is taken advantage of. If it was up to me, I would ban any immigrant. And that, I'm saying that as someone came over here legally who loves the country, that I would love to represent people in this wonderful country that I live in. But we should be banning people who come here from being able to run and go into Congress. It's as simple as that. You should not be able to do it as a first generation immigrant or even a second generation immigrant. You should not be able to run for Congress, because what you're seeing now, clearly, she prioritizes the people that are Somalian in her district. It's as simple as that. We all know it. And I don't think that that should be possible. What you're seeing is, As I said before, I mean, what is going on when you have Somalians that come into this country, and Donald Trump highlighted it, Somalians are coming into this country and defrauding this country out of millions and millions and millions, if not billions of dollars. It's a disgrace. And by the way, talking about criticizing the administration, I don't want to put a downer on this, but unless I start seeing arrests and people going to jail and being deported for what they've done in Minnesota, I won't be happy. And it is easy for us kind of to forget all the wins that we've had, and we have had a lot, which is why the State of the Union is such a great thing. You can cast your mind back, and there's so many things that you forget, right? There's so many things that we get that incremental win and we move on because we want the big wins. But I think that unless we start seeing people going to jail for what they've done, and which to me is, it's traitorous. If you come into this country, which, by the way, look, if you're going to allow someone to come into the country illegally, you're not going to punish them for it. You're not going to ask them to have certain kind of documents to get in here, which we know they don't have when they come from Somalia. Then what do you expect? You are enabling them to continue with their fraud. So that needs to end. And as far as Fetterman is concerned, he's the biggest shock to me, because guess what, Brianna? He is a Democrat that actually cares about the people that he represents. Isn't it shocking that he actually looks at the policies that are going to benefit the people in his area, and he says, you know what? This works for me. This works for my people. I'm going to put that over indoctrination. I'm going to put it, in front of all of the agendas that the Democrats have, which appears at this. I don't know how you can look at what they do and say that they're not trying to destroy the United States of America. That is not hyperbole anymore. It really isn't. They are trying to destroy this country. And John Fetterman is having none of it. So, yeah, it's surprising, but it shows you, what does Trump do? In the same way that he reached out to Tulsi Gabbard, in the same way that he reached out to RFK, who were Democrats, he's saying, listen, I'm here. I will work with you. I will work with you if you want what's best for the American people. And that's what Fetterman wants. And I'd suspect that the people in his district, in his state, are very happy with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. I mean, I know he's got to obviously play it down a little bit and be a moderate, because he is in Pennsylvania. But again, I mean, he's done a pretty decent job, and I honestly didn't think he was going to be this good, at playing the moderate role. I know, obviously, his wife, who is an illegal alien, I've been very critical of her, but he's done an incredible job. And so we got to give credit when credit's due. And the fact that he had enough respect to shake the president's hand, and he's fair when he gives his criticisms, I think. So that's all you could ask for at this point. But the left has gone so far off the hinges. I want to also highlight yesterday that, you know, those in the minority usually give the response after the State of the Union. And for some strange reason, Democrats thought that it was best to give a CIA spook that opportunity. That's Abigail Spansberg, as many of you guys, Berger. She's now the governor of Virginia, and she's radicalized Virginia over these last few weeks. She's pushed forward all these ideas of radical agenda through legislation that she wants, also these executive orders, no longer working with ICE. She's obviously someone who doesn't hide her ties to the CIA. For some reason, Democrats don't care to platform her. It's quite strange they gave her the opportunity. But yesterday when she was speaking, it actually looks like it was pre-taped and it was edited, her response to the president's speech. So it didn't appear to be live. I want to take a look at clip 11 and get your take on this.
1705, the people of the Virginia colony gathered here to take on the extraordinary task of the United States was founded on the idea that ordinary people could reject the unacceptable excesses of poor leadership, band together to demand better of their government, and create a nation that would be an example for the world.
All right, Marzen, it's quite obvious that they edited that one. I don't know why they would do that. It's really, really strange. She was also struggling to read the teleprompter, too. When she was talking about China, she actually cited Russia and then corrected herself. So this is someone who they're platforming, and they're trying to make it seem like she might actually be the future leader of the Democratic Party. That's why they usually give her, give someone this opportunity. But she's not quite all there. The CIA, I guess, hasn't done a good enough job training her. Your take on her response yesterday to President Trump's speech.
Well, I think what you have to look at is the contrast between her and Trump. And what you get with Trump, which we've said for years and years, whether you like it or not, he is absolutely authentic. You know, for me as an actor, watching him speak off the cuff, for him improvising, which comes from 17 years of being in front of the cameras, he's amazing. I mean, I really don't think we will see, certainly in my lifetime, we'll see another president quite like him, because he is brilliant at that. You know, the way he stops, you always know when he goes off on one, right? Like, he sees he's going through the teleprompter, and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to improvise. I'm going to go off. I'm going to spike them. And what that comes from is being absolutely authentic and knowing who you are. And in contrast, you're seeing this woman who looks like an NPC, right? She looks like, this is the way I do. I smile at this point. This is the way I read the teleprompter. I can see it from 1,000 yards, right? I think most people can anyway. But as an actor, I see it from 1,000 yards, the way that she's clearly been coached. But look, they don't have a bench. They don't have a bench, and all they have for their policies is, we aren't Trump. And that is losing. It is an absolute losing proposition. When you look around the Democratic Party, instead of saying, you know, maybe we should go to Fetterman, I know that might sound crazy, or what I think they'll do is they'll go to someone like Matthew McConaughey, or they'll go to someone like The Rock, and they'll try and get them to start moving into politics. But, I mean, you've got Gavin Newsom. Good luck with that. I fled the communist state of California under him. Jasmine Crockett, really? And then this woman, they don't have anyone. Yet, if you look at our side, we've got Ron DeSantis is still out there. We've got J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, who was highlighted in the speech, who's been absolutely phenomenal. Everyone knew that Marco Rubio was a great senator, but what he's done in this role has been absolutely spectacular. If they carry on like this, there is no way they will win in the foreseeable future. Seriously, I think the only way they can win is through cheating. So, and by the way, here's the other thing. The Democrats always used to go to Hollywood for their visuals. If you look at the production, even under, you know, that horrendous thing that Biden did, where he's standing there and it was red behind, it looked like, you know, a Nazi rally. It was still lit and shot really, really well. This looks like an amateur production. So I don't know what's going on with them. They were always a lot slicker than the Republicans. Now you've got someone who understands television, who understands the entertainment industry, coming in and taking over that. The production from the Republican side far exceeds that of the Democrats now. So I don't know what's going on, but they are losing massively right now. And yeah. I'm kind of happy about that, quite frankly.
You're not alone, Marzen. We're all very happy about that. Folks, give Matthew Marzen a follow on X right this second. Head on over. Matthew D. Marzen, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program and hear your takes on all things related to immigration and much, much more. Marzen, thanks for joining the show today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Many of you guys know I'm not in studio right now, but I am obviously with the jam-packed program. I got a great lineup for you guys today. So more to discuss in just a bit. You know, we didn't get to all of the State of the Union best of moments, and I'm trying my very best to make sure we do. It was incredible, obviously, President Trump highlighting the victims of a lot of these crimes that have been committed, these heinous crimes. And it's all thanks to the policies of those on the left. And this is the problem. You know, if these individuals, these politicians who push these radical policies were the ones who were held accountable, if they were the ones who were sued after all of this, well, then we wouldn't have these crimes, because they would be like, all right, well, we can't chance it. We can't chance it. But they don't have a problem with blood being spilled in this country if it's not on their dime. They don't really care. They don't really care. This is all about the invasion. This is all about transforming this country into the globalist agenda, the WEF agenda. And they just don't care as to who dies in all of this. And that's just the harsh reality that we're currently working our way through. President Trump highlighting a lot of key players, a lot of key victims in all of this. I have to say, one of the most impactful moments, though, was watching the president talk about the illegal invaders who have been given CDLs, and how them gaining these trucking licenses, being able to go out there and to operate these semi-trucks, has been absolutely devastating for the American people. We've had dozens of casualties because of all of it. And I keep asking, by the way, the Transportation Department to give me the number. I say, give me the actual statistic on how many Americans, even during the Biden years, were killed because of these illegal invaders getting these CDLs. And still, the Transportation Department will not respond. Don't know why, probably because that sounds like a lot of work for them. But I think it's one of the more important things that we should be highlighting all of this. But President Trump also highlighted, and this was a key element to a lot of what happened yesterday, President Trump also highlighted the Somalian fraud. And I enjoyed that because, well, they panned over to Ilhan Omar when they were talking about it, and her face says it all. Take a listen to clip 10.
The Somali pirates who ransacked Minnesota remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to the USA, and it is the American people who pay the price in higher medical bills, car insurance rates, rent, taxes, and perhaps most importantly, crime. We will take care of this problem. We're going to take care of this problem. We are not playing games. Delilah.
Okay, Rashida Tlaib looks like a man. And by the way, she's wearing an F ICE pin during all of this. She's a garbage human being, just an absolute garbage human being. Whenever I see her face, I just want to puke. What a vile human being. She obviously hates this country. She's obviously sent here because she's a radical Islamist. And she wants to destroy this country, just like her little buddy over to her side. Ilhan Omar, another horrible human being who is sent here because she hates this country. We have been infiltrated at obviously a federal level, but also local government as well. We have been infiltrated by Islamists who are trying their very best to destroy this country. And to conquer the West is their ultimate goal. I mean, you don't have to sit there and say that it's a conspiracy. We have the evidence. There's tons and tons of pieces of evidence, reels, videos, pieces of documents that they put this in. They are here to conquer and destroy the West. Why? Well, because our way of life is obviously the best. This nation was founded by Christians, and of course they're looking to destroy just that. They have conquered, obviously, Europe. They've conquered, obviously, other places as well. And right now they are laying down their battleground. Millions of Muslims have been imported post 9/11, and we are currently working our way through all of this. They're doing their best to destroy this country, and so many are afraid to come out and say the truth. The reality of it is Islam doesn't belong in the West. It has no part in the West. They cannot assimilate to our way of life. They are just here to destroy us. And again, they're always saying, oh, those peaceful Muslims. Don't say that, Brianna. If you're reading the Quran and if you're committed to what you see in the Quran, there's no way that you could actually be peaceful. You, in fact, will turn on us at any moment. And they're just waiting for that. They're waiting for the opportunity. When they are the majority, they will come after us. They do so in all countries that they become the majority in. And those in the West need to wake up and realize something, and realize it quick. We are about to be conquered by people that hate us. And those people have infiltrated our federal government, our local governments, And they're building up Muslim compounds throughout this country. Wake up, America, before it's too late. All right, we got more to discuss in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping in my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
All right, wake up America. Got a lot to discuss on today's American Journal. Welcome back. It's been a crazy, crazy couple of days. Excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. You know, I like to keep my eye on a lot of stories the mainstream media won't tell you about until it's too late. So I do my very best to look at what's happening all around the country. And you might have forgotten about this, but Ken Silva hasn't. There's jury selection going on this week, and it started, of course, it kicked off in regards to the alleged hire by Iran. It was the Trump assassination plot, as many of you guys know. Well, the individual who was arrested for all of that is about to have his big trial kick off very, very soon. Joining me to break down the very latest is Ken Silva. He is the editor over at Headline USA. And if you don't follow Ken on X, you're really missing out because he's the only journalist who dives into these documents, who keeps his eye on all of these big cases that everyone just keeps forgetting about. So make sure you follow Ken on X as well. Ken, thanks for being here. I saw this was just you talking about this. I don't see anyone else talking about it. But the trial did kick off this week, so I wanted to hear the very latest from you directly. So give us an update.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I'm even Googling this morning and I don't see any media coverage of this. And this is the trial of the guy who was actually arrested on July 12, 2024. The case was announced about a month later. The date was the day before Trump was shot in Butler. And when the DOJ announced that they arrested this Pakistani guy who was allegedly working for Iran and in a plot to assassinate Trump, I think a lot of people assumed, like, of course, this had to be related to what went down in Butler. But when you look at the charging papers, it really looks like this was some kind of orchestrated sting operation. And we even had a whistleblower tell reporter John Solomon that they actually let this Asif merchant guy into the country in April 2024 under what's called significant public benefit parole program, which is basically when they try to flip somebody to become an informant, or if they just let him into the country to kind of monitor him and see who he's networking with. The whistleblower specifically compared it to Operation Fast and Furious, where the ATF was letting illegal gun purchases go down on purpose to track where the guns were going. Well, they introduced this guy when he got into the country to an FBI informant. They recorded all his conversations, and they eventually hooked him up with two undercover FBI agents who were posing as hitmen. And he scrounged up a couple $1,000s, made a down payment, and then they arrested him on July 12th, alleging that, like, this is like a very credible plot, a very credible threat to, you know, the front runner to be the next president. And so he's been sitting in solitary confinement at Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center ever since then. He hasn't really been able to access evidence in this case. Much of it has been classified. He's not allowed to review the recordings of the undercover FBI agents because they say he might leak it to Iran. Even though there's intelligence reports that the defense has gotten their hands on that says that he has no known associates in the U.S. So it looks to me as something similar to the Whitmer kidnap plot, where they're alleging that these militias are trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan in 2020. But it turns out that half of the people involved were either informants or undercover agents. And I've gotten a little bit of a pushback in covering this case. They're saying, well, hey, the difference between the Whitmer defendants and this guy really wanted to kill Trump. He came to the country specifically for that purpose. And my argument is that that may have been the case, but the government was monitoring him before he even came into the country, and they let him in. And then they were focused, the FBI was, on building this elaborate sting operation. And while they're focused on this, they totally missed the ball when it comes to Thomas Crooks and Ryan Ruth. So I think that's my point, is like, while they're manufacturing one case, they missed the real would-be assassins.
Yeah, and Ken, I think you're being very nice when you say that they missed it. I mean, it's hard for me to understand how they would miss something. They obviously didn't like President Trump. We saw them trying to lock him up and put him in prison for the rest of his life. So maybe this was the easier way out for the government at the time, and I think that's like a key point to all of this. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, because that's actually another key element to the story, is that about a week before the Butler shooting, the Secret Service gets intelligence from the FBI that there's an Iranian threat. Well, that intelligence was fabricated out of this merchant case. But the point is that because of this intelligence, the Secret Service, you know, one would think that they should have been more focused on upping the resources and the protection that Trump received. So that's another question, is like, if the Secret Service was getting this intelligence, then why was protection and security so lax at Butler?
Yeah, no, that is another key element to all of this. And that's what's so frustrating, because, again, we still don't even understand exactly what happened and why there were so many failures that day either. And, you know, thank God that President Trump was obviously safe. But obviously there were other people who were shot and one who did lose his life. And so we can't sit there and pretend like everything's okay now, because it's not okay. People need to lose their jobs over this. And I still haven't even heard of any reforms being made by the Secret Service after this took place. So that in itself is really, really frustrating to hear. I did see, though, your tweet that you do believe that this individual is going to be convicted. Do you think the evidence that they have is damning enough that there will be a conviction here?
You know, it's just like a really uphill battle to claim entrapment. We saw with the Whitmer case, which was probably even more egregious in terms of the FBI's conduct. You had the informants driving around the defendants, mm-hmm. and half of those guys were still convicted. And it turns out that apparently this supposed Iranian agent did confess initially to working with somebody in a supposed plot. And the government's saying they might introduce this evidence if it comes to that. I guess there was like discussions of a plea agreement, and that eventually it was scuttled and he'd rather plead not guilty and go to trial. So, I think there is kind of a legitimate case against him. Of course, he never had the ability to actually, pose a credible threat to Trump, and he shouldn't have been let in the country in the first place. So even though he'll probably be found guilty, I just think this is a total misallocation of resources. Cause again, you know, Trump came within millimeters of having his life lost.
Exactly. And that in itself, would warrant, I think, massive reforms, but unfortunately that's not the case. Still to this day, Ken, I want to get to this other story, because you actually mentioned it in your open as well, Fast and Furious, and in one tweet that you posted, never actually ended. And this one's really important to me, because I've spoken to people like Cheryl Atkinson, reporter who was obviously covering this, and she was targeted by the government for exposing Fast and Furious. You've detailed in a bunch of documents they put together, it's quite the enlightening. Again, this is why you follow Ken on X, but the enlightening thread here, you're making the argument that Fast and Furious has actually not ended. Give us the latest on that and what you're learning.
Yeah, I was inspired to make that tweet because the Mexico's defense secretary recently said, you know, amidst in all this chaos with them taking out a cartel leader and then the cartels retaliating, I think bombing cities, committing mass shootings. Well, the defense secretary said that 80% of guns seized from the cartels down there come from the United States. And liberals have used this as a cudgel to bash legal gun owners and bash the Second Amendment. But of course, a little history lesson is due. Most of these guns, I would contend, come with the sanction of the U.S. government. Specifically, there was something called Fast and Furious, which had the ATF specifically allow straw purchases for the cartel. So somebody who could legally purchase a gun, like myself, would go to a gun store and buy maybe 15 AR-15s or something, and those would wind up in the hands of the cartels. And I think the best resource on this is a book called Deadly Path by an ATF agent named Peter Forselli, who blew the whistle on this operation after a Border Patrol agent named Brian Terry was killed in 2010 by a weapon that was let walk by the ATF. Forselli said that in the late 2000s, he would have ATF, or he would have gun stores calling him saying, hey, you know, some Mexican guy with Sinaloa plates just came in here, bought, you know, a couple dozen ARs. This is very fishy. And Forselli and the other ATF agents would pull the guys over, confiscate the weapons, but indictments were never handed down. Like, nobody was ever actually charged for this. And he says that the DOJ prosecutors would explain to him that, well, the nexus of crime is in Mexico, so we really don't care about these cases. Of course, it all turned to disaster in 2010 after the Border Patrol agent was killed. You had all this information come out that the ATF was doing this for years. I mean, it started in the 90s, according to an FBI informant whistleblower named John Matthews. There was something in the George W. Bush era called Operation Wide Receiver, where, again, they were letting guns walk to the cartels. And Forselli will tell you that to this day, after he blew the whistle, he was kind of walled off from the case, and he doesn't really know why the ATF or the DOJ was doing this. It could be a combination of corruption, people getting paid, or I think probably the most plausible reason is the DEA and the ATF had a deal with the cartels saying the main cartel, El Chapo's cartel, the Sinaloa one, like, if you inform on the other cartels and help us arrest people, we'll give you guns and we'll help you establish a monopoly. And so that happened mostly in the early 2010s. You fast forward to 2023, and Chuck Grassley wrote the letter that you just showed on the screen, revealing that it was still going on up until the late 2010s, where you had an ATF investigator was taking guns down for the cartels using a government car so he wouldn't, you know, be arrested. Finally, I guess somebody tipped off the higher ups at the ATF about this activity. But instead of arresting this guy and making a big case out of it, they handled it as an administrative matter and pretty much let the corrupt agent quit with the severance package. And so, you know, Chuck Grassley, to his credit, he wrote a letter about this in 2023, but nobody ever followed up. And so one can only assume that this type of nefarious activity is still going on.
Yeah. Well, we can only assume that. And I'm going to read later on to our audience a new CIA document that we've obtained that actually went up on the web. And it's been declassified for a couple of years now, but we just recently obtained it. And it's interesting because it's another big conspiracy proven to be correct in regards to the CIA and MK Ultra trying its best to control the minds of Americans by drugging them up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, no, none of this surprised me. Obviously, our government is a bunch of corrupt, treasonous pigs. And so it's not surprising, but none of these individuals are ever held accountable. Ken, as you know, so there's that, Elise. I want to shift over to somebody who I think is actually, I mean, I know it's very controversial, but I think he's someone who's actually someone who loves his country. Jack Teixeira is an individual who's now sadly sitting in prison right now. He's the individual who leaked a bunch of government documents regarding Ukraine on Discord. Now, he's a young man, which is really unfortunate for him. But you actually recently, we sentenced to 15 years in prison, but you actually posted something that broke my heart about him. He's currently sitting in a supermax prison, and it's actually one of the toughest prisons in the country. I don't know why he would be there. This is, again, a kid. He's 24 years old. But when I looked into, you know, where you said he was, I mean, this is a really, really hard prison to be doing time for someone who is a peaceful individual, obviously doesn't have a violent past. But he did expose the fact that we weren't being told the truth about the war between Ukraine and Russia. So give us a little bit of backstory on this.
Yeah, poor Jack. This is the National Air Guardsman who, in late 2022, by all accounts, he was kind of just hanging out on a gaming server called Discord, chatting with his friends. And I think he wanted to impress them a little, so he started leaking documents that he got from work. And these were really damning papers that we still have questions how a young kid had access to this in the first place. Probably the most significant disclosure is that kind of the whole Ukraine war at the time was a sham. Remember, we were hearing all these stories about how Ukraine was beating back Russia and things were going really well for the West and we could actually win this and maybe even take back Crimea. And the documents Jack was showing really proved otherwise, showing the heavy casualty numbers. He also revealed that U.S. troops were on the ground in Ukraine, which was not known at the time. And another scandal he revealed is that the U.S. was spying on Zelensky, which isn't too surprising, but it was still to have it proven was a little bit shocking to read in black and white. So he's arrested in early April and sentenced to, I think, 10 to 14 years. And he was in a maximum security prison, which is, you know, pretty much bad enough for I would consider pretty much a whistleblower. I did see he gave a interview to ABC News a couple months ago where he says, I don't really regret what I did. I exposed government malfeasance. And if it saves one life, one Ukrainian or one Russian, then it'll all have been worth it. And I got to suspect that that's probably what spurred the transfer to Florence Supermax, which, as you say, it's the harshest prison in the world. This is where you're sitting in a small solitary cell for 23 hours a day. And when you're let out for 1 hour of recreation, you're not congregating with other inmates. You kind of go to this outdoor area that's connected to your cell and you can kind of just walk around in an outside cage that's also small. It looks like a, if you go to a dog pound, it's like a dog cage. You walk around before you go back inside. This is the home of like El Chapo, Ramzi Youssef, Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols. Like, this is supposed to be the worst of the worst, but we're seeing increasingly political prisoners and whistleblowers are being sent there. He's probably a couple cells down from Adam Fox, who was set up in the Whitmer kidnap case. Another Whitmer kidnap defendant, Barry Croft is also there. So it really seems to be a punitive thing where they're just trying to scare people from becoming whistleblowers, in my opinion. And I guess if there's one silver lining to this is he will get out in about 10 years. So he'll probably be around my age when he gets out and he'll have the rest of his life ahead of him. But who knows the scarring and the PTSD that he'll have to face, because I would argue that he's pretty much being tortured right now for his disclosures.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely egregious, and I understand that you can't leak, obviously, classified documents. That's actually the reason why I never want to work in government. I've gotten offers to go work in government. I will never work in government because I always go, well, this is the ethical thing to do. The American people need to see this, and I would do something like what Jack did. And so my sympathy is with him significantly because we were being lied to, still are, about the war between Russia and Ukraine. And so I could only imagine if you love this country, if you love just humanity as a whole, and you don't want to see a war like this continue to drag on, you would, in fact, go out there and put those documents on the web, and you would try to highlight the corruption that's going on behind the scenes. So my heart breaks for him. And as you just highlighted, too, you know, This is the part, Ken, and I'll let you kind of react to this too, because I'm really upset. You know, last year, it's actually been about a year now since I spoke with Ed Martin on air. And during our interview, I asked Ed Martin about those two individuals who are also being held at Florence, which is, again, the toughest prison that we have in this country right now. The two individuals who are part of the Whitmer kidnapping plot, the alleged Whitmer kidnapping plot. I asked Ed Martin specifically, are you looking into pardoning those folks? Because they were obviously set up by the federal government. And Ed Martin understands the case better than anyone, of course. And he said, yeah, you know, this is something that we're looking into. That interview went viral. We got Whitmer to even comment on it because she saw it and she apparently became infuriated. And she said she spoke with President Trump. And she said that President Trump also responded and asked her specifically, are you okay if I issue this pardon to them? And she said no, that she wants these men to stay in prison. And so we haven't heard much in the way of movement on that. President Trump still has not commented on any of this. Ed Martin since has lost control of the weaponization group. They've actually dissolved that, it looks like. And they've just placed him on just being the pardon attorney. And they've kind of relinquished a lot of his power, whatever was left of it. And it's really unfortunate. But, you know, your takeaway from this, because this administration hasn't made whole with a lot of the political prisoners and they are still being tortured. Again, the DOJ runs the Bureau of Prisons. So they're being tortured by the DOJ right now.
Yeah, it's just really unfortunate for these guys. I don't have a whole lot of hope. I mean, you could just look at the administration's actions and see that they are seem to be more focused, unfortunately, on transferring Ghislaine Maxwell from a high security prison to the cushy Club Fed, where she's kind of like in a camp. She gets to eat, steak for dinner. She gets to go to the gym while everybody else is on lockdown. And that, of course, she was transferred right after she gave an interview that kind of said, well, hey, Trump did nothing wrong. And it really raises questions about whether a quid pro quo was at play. And so I don't have a whole lot of hope. I mean, Trump, he also pardoned, I think, a drug dealer from Honduras. His priorities seem to be really misplaced. I think the best we could hope for is maybe, you know, the last month he's in office. We could probably try to kick up a public relations campaign and lobby for these guys, and maybe he'll sign some pardons on his way out. But he seems to have other priorities at this point.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, I tried reaching out through another reporter to see how the two of those men were feeling after they heard the interview with Ed Martin and myself, and they were very hopeful. So it breaks my heart that we got their hopes all worked up and they thought that possibly that the president was going to entertain freeing them after they were set up by the federal government under the Biden regime. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case. And it's just really frustrating. Again, none of these people being held accountable, and it was a setup from day one. Ken Silva, you're doing incredible reporting. We're very thankful for you and the time you extend to us by appearing on this show. Folks, head on over right now to his X page. Give him a follow. I'm telling you, it is the best Twitter account, one of my top Twitter accounts on X, and that's how I stay ahead of the news cycle as well. JD_cashless is where you could find Ken Silva at right now, and he's the editor over at Headline USA. Ken, thank you for joining us. As always, you do an incredible job, so we're honored.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you, as always. Folks, we're going to be covering more in just a little bit. Obviously, I just told you about the CIA documents. I can't believe it. It is everything we've told you about. It's even pre-MK Ultra. So this is going to be crazy when we talk about that in a little bit. We're also going to be talking about what happened in Mexico. Jorge Ventura was on the ground, and he was doing some incredible reporting as the drug cartels were trying to get even with those who went after their leaders. So Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. So buckle up. There's more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Why? Well, because we have a flash sale going on. When you buy methylene blue, it's 25% off, and then you get methylene red, and it's also 50% off. So it is an incredible time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and indulge in this flash sale. Of course, guys, when you support us, when you keep us on air, well, you're also supporting your own personal health. It's a very fair exchange, I must say. Help us win this information battle. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you stock up today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Got a lot to discuss in today's show. We're diving into so much. Welcome aboard. All right. Well, if you guys were watching last week, and I know you were, I was filling in for Alex Jones, and I had on a very interesting guest. This individual is the assistant director of the office of drug czar, Victor Avila. And, well, he dropped a little hint bomb, and I didn't realize it until I actually went down in Mexico. But I was asking him specifically about the Mexican president and whether she was working with this administration, what it's been like with her, because there was obviously a lot of public issues back and forth. And then he dropped this gem in clip 12. Take a listen.
I could tell you, I worked in Mexico and my career, and you mentioned what I went through, and I could tell you that I've seen Mexico do a lot that I had never seen them do before. Seizures, arrest, sending, and extraditing people, to our country. But nevertheless, it's not enough. They have to up the game because these cartels have taken a stronghold, especially in Mexico. They basically control, the movement of that country, especially when it comes to the money and the power. So, there's a lot more to be done there. But at least the cooperation is there. I know that our law enforcement partners now with the Department of War. And why is the Department of War involved? Because remember, these organizations are now declared foreign terrorist organizations. We're talking about terrorist organizations. So when you start combining all these other efforts and our tools that we were never able to use before, now not only in Mexico, outside of Mexico, on the border, I was with the Director Carter in El Paso, Texas, and met with our military partners there in Department of War. So it is coming together. It's hard to do it. You know, I think people want to change immediately. It's happening. It's going to take some more time. There's a lot of diplomacy involved as well in dealing with these countries, but you're going to start seeing some significant improvement.
Significant improvement. What did he mean by that? Well, probably that this administration was going to force Mexico to go after their drug cartels, and it looks like they did just that. Joining me to discuss, a man who's on the ground and was doing a lot of incredible reporting over the weekend and throughout the week. Please welcome to the show, Jorge Ventura. He's an incredible independent journalist. You could find him at Ventura Report on X as well, and I highly recommend you do just that. He goes to all the most dangerous places, whether it's, you know, Mexico or whether it's a BLM riot or so much more. He's on the ground. He's doing incredible work. Jorge, thank you for jumping back on with us today. It was impressive to see your reporting on the ground there, and obviously things were getting obviously very heated. What's the very latest in regards to the cartels in Mexico and how they've been pushing back? Jorge, I think you might have frozen us. Let's say we'll get him back in.
Am I back?
I think, is he back to being frozen, guys? I'm waiting for the control room to get me.
Am I back?
I think you are. Jorge, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on.
You're frozen for a second.
I was mentioning that I think Mexico is still feeling the shockwaves of the takedown of El Mencho. I was reporting in Tijuana, Baja California. Really wanted to focus there because we started to see the vehicle burning, the narco blockades there. Baja California, for folks who don't know, has millions of Americans visiting every single day. I mean, you just go into Tijuana, it's almost half of the population there is just Americans hanging out. Many of them live there now. And this all this footage is that we shot is as soon as I crossed in on Monday, literally I crossed into Mexico on Monday, we got tipped off that the cartel was burning vehicles by the border wall, and we rushed to the scene. Once again, cartels trying to send a message not only to maybe the Mexican government, but by burning the vehicles near the border, maybe trying to send a message to the U.S. government that cartels could retaliate by kidnapping and attacking Americans on either Mexican soil or even in San Diego. I was there also yesterday. It seems like things were a little bit getting back to normal. Some businesses were opening up, but the streets were very empty.
It looks like his audio might be breaking up a little bit. Jorge, I'll have my control room reset with you to make sure that we're getting the clearest report, because it sounds like your audio might be breaking up a little bit. So while they work on that, guys, and just let me know, drop in my ear when he's all set to go. We'll have him just kind of reset there. Jorge's on the ground. He's been bouncing around a lot. So it's probably just bad reception. So we'll bring that to you once it begins again and we're good to go. But again, folks, there's been a lot in regards to Mexico and in regards to all of this. You know, when I was talking to Victor Avila about what was happening on the ground there, he was assuring me that this is actually the most that he's ever seen both the Mexican government and now the Colombian government getting on board and working with this administration. Now, Jorge, when we have him, we'll bring him back in. But, you know, Victor Avila was telling us that as someone who, and if you don't know Victor's story, it's actually a very powerful story. He was somebody who worked previously, retired now with HSI. But while he was working with HSI, and this is what a story that he's told me several times extensively, he was actually shot out by the cartels, and sadly his partner died. And so he understands, He understands the dangers here. He was shot multiple times, but thankfully survived. And now he's working with his administration to make sure that he secures what you see him working on now. I mean, he is trying his very best to save Americans from what's happened. And it was quite the enlightening experience speaking to Avila, obviously someone who's a member of the administration now, and talking about how this administration is pushing back on fentanyl and other drugs that are trying to be brought into this country. Now, it sounds like we have Jorge Ventura back on. Ventura, welcome back onto the program. As you were just cut off, sorry, by the bad reception, I want to let you continue your thought there.
Yeah, I think right now we're still feeling some of those ripple effects. I think what we need to watch for next is, could we see this cartel violence and retaliation spill over to the United States, where they could potentially attack Americans either on Mexican soil or on American soil? And right now we're getting new reporting. I'm still speaking to some of my sources, but it looks like the new leader of CJNG is the stepson of El Mencho, alias of Cero Tres. He's actually from Orange County, California. He is an American citizen. Many of these new cartel members, the new generation, are actually American citizens, many of them dual citizens. So I think that's a key detail, because that means he has strong ties to Southern California and probably other cartel factions operating in the United States. But right now, Sheinbaum, the Mexican president, is feeling the absolute heat and pressure from the Trump administration, I think in ways we've never seen before. And I just want to quickly mention too, Brianna, I think the cartels truly fear the United States government at this point. And the reason I say that is, while we did see this violence erupt all over Mexico, we did not see cartels actually attack American citizens or even kidnap American citizens. They did burn vehicles, they attacked businesses, and they did block roads, and they cut off public transport. But I think that's a key detail that the cartels truly fear the U.S. government this time around. And I think you playing that sound with Victor Avila was also key, because by designating them foreign terrorist organizations, they're able to deploy tools that they never had before. I think one of the most important moves the U.S. government did under the Trump administration was last year getting the CIA to fly drones in Mexico. I think those CIA drones played a huge role in getting that intel on El Mencho's location.
Yeah, and I kind of want to dive into that a little bit, because, like, you know better than anyone about this subject matter. You've actually interviewed a lot of these cartel members as well, and so this is really important. For you saying that, I think that strikes with me. Normally, and kind of walk our audience through this, normally when they would do something like this, because this has happened several times, right, when their leaders are killed, and this is various cartels, when their leaders are either killed or captured, they do retaliate by acts of violence like we see unravel over the weekend. But not going after the tourists that were in the area, I think, was a big one. Walk us through it. Normally, they do grab hostages, and they do look to extract funds in exchange for those hostages. So what have you seen in the past that has you thinking that this is a change?
Well, if you guys remember, it was several years ago. I believe it might have been like the first year under the Biden administration, when the U.S. government with Mexico, they took down El Chapo's son in Sinaloa. And that violence erupted for several days. And that's where regular Mexican citizens were attacked. They were actually kidnapped, and they literally burned the city. I mean, the whole state of Sinaloa to the ground, until El Chapo's son was eventually released by the Mexican government. And it took, you know, under the Trump administration to under Trump 2.0 to recapture El Chapo's son. He's now under U.S. government custody. But I thought that was very interesting. I thought this violence would actually spread out for much longer. Also, it was key that, you know, Puerto Vallarta was attacked. But I mean, that area is littered with American tourists. I mean, they could have literally just captured even one or two, and it would have made major headlines. But we didn't see that same reaction, even in Baja California. Once again, this literally has hundreds of thousands of Americans as we speak right now. They didn't even attack one foreign tourist. So I think the reason is that the cartels know that this is probably the strongest, most aggressive administration they'll ever face. I think Secretary of State Marco Rubio is playing also a massive role. But I think the CIA flying those drones into Mexico and collecting that key intel was a major move. And it's clear that Sheinbaum right now is trying to do everything that she can to satisfy the Trump administration. I think another key detail here to watch, Brianna, is we'll watch the relationship, is that Cartel Jalisco Nueva Generacion has strong relationships with Chinese. I reported this actually here on the American side, with these marijuana grows connected also to Chinese organized crime. So Cartel Jalisco has a very strong relationship with China. It's going to be interesting to see if the Trump administration tries to also put more pressure on China and getting those chemical precursors out of Mexico for good.
Yeah. Yeah. And also it's worth noting too, the New York Times reporting that the CIA provided important intel for what we saw unravel, like the capture of their leader. So, that was something that they were reporting. I think is really important here. Jorge, what do you think happens moving forward? Because I thought it was interesting. We've talked about this extensively, with Victor, but I know for a fact, and many of our audience members are very familiar with this, that no one gets elected in the Mexican government if they don't get the blessing of the cartels. If they try to run for office and they don't get that blessing, they are usually killed. We've seen dozens of those, stories over the election cycles as well. Do you think the president of Mexico was working with the United States, possibly from within the United States? They might have offered her some type of level of safety, security, because I can't imagine her going out there and putting her life on the risk, on the line for all of this, given the risk that's involved here.
I think that plays a role, and I also think, and maybe this is a little bit out there, I think that Sheinbaum is also worried that she could potentially be arrested by this Trump administration for just allowing this cartel violence to flourish. I mean, it's kind of astonishing to know that they knew where El Mencho was this whole time, but they never moved in. I think there's two keys. There's two sides of the story where we could go, Brandon, is Sheinbaum could continue to crack down on cartels, which I think we'll see. And then we'll see how the cartels react. I think one key thing we need to watch for is normally when a leader also gets taken down, these cartels normally splinter into paramilitary factions. And sometimes we even see more violence because you have all these guys trying to fight for that top kingpin, spot. Kind of actually what we saw when El Chapo was taken down. It got splintered into two groups, where you saw the side that was more loyal to El Mencho start to fight the side that was loyal to the sons of El Chapo. The thing that I would be really worried here, Brand, is that the new leader of Cartel Jalisco has such strong ties in the United States, especially Southern California, the San Bernardino, that Riverside area, Orange County. So at any moment, if these guys want to retaliate, they could attack American citizens, kidnap American citizens, or they could even plan a much deeper attack. So I think that's something to watch for, is that this new leader has, he probably has factions all over the United States working, but especially in Southern California.
Yeah, and Jorge, also, it's worth noting, too, I mean, I was the one that broke this story first when the cartels, and this is the Pentagon saying that it was the cartels. This was just a couple of days ago in El Paso when they had to shut down the airport, and they said that we're going to shut it down for 10 days. I'll get your take on it before we go, though, of course. But they cited that these drones they had to take down were actually cartel-related drones, which was quite strange to hear. What are your thoughts on that? Because, I mean, again, you're citing all of this, that there's a lot of activity here in the United States, that it's not totally out of the loop to think that they might actually commit acts of violence. But the Pentagon saying that they had to take down these drones and shoot them down, it sounded like. But we haven't heard much in the way of a follow-up on this, and I've been waiting for more details and poking around trying to get it from sources. But no one's really budging on this one. They don't really have any further details besides the fact that there were some drones, it might have been one or multiple drones that they're saying came from the cartel that were flying nearby the El Paso airport, and it resulted in them initially saying that they were going to shut down the airport for 10 days, but that's quite strange given the fact that these are commercial airlines going in and out of there.
Now, this story was very strange. I mean, just for folks who don't know, just for context, I mean, I think just passing the 6 months on the border, we've had at least 600,000 cartel drone incursions. So I think just shutting down the airport was a strange move. And the whole story doesn't make any sense. And then it was like shut down for 10 days. And I think it was only shut down for a few hours. So it made this, confusion. I think so from some of my contacts, it wasn't a drone. I think they got confused, but, I don't know if the administration wants to admit that, but just for some context here, guys, Mexican cartel drones are flying into the United States every single day, probably literally right now as we're talking. I mean, like I said, the last 6 months had 600,000 of them come in. I've been actually embedded with Texas DPS when they spot some of these drones. I've never really seen anything like this, so I'm hoping there's more to the story. Honestly, Brianna, you're way better at this than I am, so you'll probably get the info before any of us. But just from someone who reports on the border, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, the cartel drones is literally like nothing new. So I think there's something more there that we gotta poke.
Yeah, well, Jorge, my sources were kind of floating the idea that they believe that this was actually taking place in a nearby black site, and that is the reason why the federal government's kind of not giving us all the information there. So, and I was also told that this actually might not be the cartels either. So there's that. It's always a fun element. But again, I know. It was so strange getting the updates. And again, the Pentagon, I love the people, some of the people who work there who I communicate with. They are great people. But there was a lot of miscommunications at the front of all of this. And it's got me still scratching my head and wondering what's going on. But Jorge, you're on the ground in all of these dangerous situations and doing your best to report as to what's really going on here. And the corporate media won't do that. So folks, give him a follow on X right now. It is VENTURA report. Is where you could find him at right now. Make sure you do just that. Again, we keep independent journalism alive by supporting our fellow independent journalists. Victor, I'm lost already. I think it's last week. Jorge, thank you for joining me. As always, I appreciate you and your patience while I pull my Joe Biden impression right now live on air. So thank you.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Rand, for having me on. Keep up the great work.
You as well, my friend. You as well. Thank you for being with us. Speaking of losing it, it's actually a great pivot for my next story. It's in regards to the CIA, something that we were told was a conspiracy. Well, it's apparently not a conspiracy anymore. We've gotten our hands on some new CIA documents that have been declassified. Now, they were thrown up on the web, and you know, I don't think anyone really noticed this. It's a part of a program that was called Project Artichoke. It was run by the CIA even prior to, MKUltra. Hear me out. These declassified CIA documents reveal a chilling blueprint to manipulate the minds of Americans through, of course, drugging them. And they did so, and they were floating the idea of doing so through, get this, and it's a document, so we can tell you it's real, vaccines, food, and your water supply. Yeah, no, seriously. Project Artichoke was a top secret CIA program from 1951 till 1956. It focused on behavioral controls and different techniques that they could utilize to go out there and manipulate Americans, ultimately. It was done out of fear, of course, during the early Cold War years of communism. And so they tried brainwashing people, and that was the real goal here. That was what they were trying to do. Again, it sounds like MKUltra, but remember, this started in, according to documents, 1951. It's a 7-page declassified report. We're going to get that up on the InfoWars website as well, so you guys can see it for yourself because it's very important. But it was titled, this document, Special Research for Artichoke. Again, it's quite the interesting name. Again, it was declassified in 1983, but it just made its way to the CIA reading room in 2025. And again, not many people saw this one, but it's on our radar. We want to make sure to bring this to you. Again, its core goal was to develop methods to control or alter human behavior involuntarily. Keyword, involuntarily. And they did so by using drugs and hiding in food, water, Coca-Cola even, by the way, beer, liquor, cigarettes, and vaccines. Isn't that something? Short-term drugs, of course, were the goal here, and they were trying their very best to create these things and to get it into your supplies. So really, no surprise here. We've been telling you, I know Alex has been telling you prior to my existence about all of this. And it's just another highlighting proof that, yeah, he was right. Again, keep in mind, who were they using this on? And that's the key element here. They were using some people who weren't consenting, by the way. But they were a vulnerable group of people, those who were in prison, military personnel, and those who were obviously dealing with mental health issues as well. So it's all connected, Artichoke, to MKUltra. So keep that in the back of your mind. But this was kind of like the precursor for all of it. So again, it's not a conspiracy because we have the documents to back it up. And in case you want to read it for yourself, it's going to be up on InfoWars.com in just a bit if it's not there already. That's where you could go to check it out. But again, no surprise here. Your government was lying to you and was trying to use vaccines to manipulate the minds of Americans as well as food and changing your water supply. So a bunch of scumbags over at the CIA. And I think that's pretty consistent still to this day. So make sure you check that one out. All right, folks, I want to shift gears a little bit to Tony Gonzalez. He is the congressman in Texas right now, and there's a lot of pressure for him to resign. Those in Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, are calling for his resignation because, well, the dude's a predator. Now, we could say that, and I could say that in my opinion, of course, because we've now gotten our hands on new text messages, which Tony Gonzalez himself will not confirm or deny, but he initially denied the reports that he was sleeping with a staffer. Now, that staffer later committed suicide by setting herself on fire in her own backyard. And we're learning more and more about all of this. But Tony Gonzalez denied the reports initially when he was accused of sleeping with his staffer. But the text messages look like, yes, in fact, he was. And not only was he sleeping with his staffer, but it looks like she wasn't even trying to participate in this. In fact, the text messages really highlight a very concerning issue here that Tony Gonzalez was trying to pressure his staffer to sleep with him. She keeps referring to him as boss and saying that he's taking it too far. And then he asks her very personal questions about what sexual thing she's into. It's obviously very, very disturbing. We'll play a clip of Sarah Gonzalez confronting his staffers in D.C. just a few days ago. But I wanted to play this clip for you because yesterday Tony Gonzalez surfaced over in D.C. and he was asked a very difficult question that he was unable to answer in clip two. Take a listen.
No. Not. What do you? Are those text messages correct? Are they accurate?
I am not going to resign. I work every day. I work every day for the people of Texas.
But are those text messages? Are they accurate? Are those real text messages?
I'm not going to resign. I work every day for the people of Texas.
Did you carry it?
And there will be a opportunity for all the details and facts to come out. What you've seen is not all the facts.
Did you have an extramarital affair with a staffer?
What you've seen is not all the facts, and there'll be an ample time for all of that to come out.
What are the facts? Tell it. Can you address it right now? Your constituents want to know.
My constituents are not here in D.C. My constituents are back home in Texas.
What do you mean? What a garbage human being. What an absolute garbage human being Tony Gonzalez is. It's either a yes or no. Yes or no. Were you sleeping with your staffer? Were you trying to pressure her into having sex with you because you are a pervert? Tony Gonzalez can't answer those questions because now he realizes he's in a lot of you know what. He's being challenged right now in Texas. And again, the candidate, I'm not even going to mention his name, although I think he will be a great pick. I will not mention his name right now because I want to focus solely on the fact that Tony Gonzalez was manipulating, according to these text messages, and in my opinion, was manipulating his staffer to sleep with him. And she probably felt like she had to do just that to keep her job. See, this is the problem with Tony. He's asked a very specific question, and he can't answer anymore. Initially, by the way, he was denying these reports that were coming out from Daily Mail. In fact, he also said that it was a political hit job being led by his staffer. Well, folks, we have the text messages. The text messages that now he won't tell you whether they happened or not, whether they came from his home, his phone or not. But it looks like when you look at those messages that those were actually handed over by the phone companies. That's what it looks like. And again, there is an ethical investigation into Gonzalez, but no one wants to weigh in on this. Now, again, Republicans is a very small group of them who are calling for him to step down. But the problem is Republicans, because they suck so badly, have a very thin margin in the House right now. So many Republicans won't even come out there and say that Tony should step down, even though it's quite obvious that he's a creep. In clip three, you're going to hear from one of my favorite individuals in D.C., Congressman Tim Burchett, who goes out and says, you know what? Yeah, he actually should step down in clip three. Take a listen.
Do you think that Congressman Tony Gonzalez should resign?
I do.
You do?
And, hey, brother.
Are you confident that if the Mace resolution is referred to judiciary, that it'll...
I don't know what will happen. I mean, it takes so long. The election could be over by then. He loses the primary, and then it's pretty evident what will happen there. So,
got it.
I'm sorry it's going down like that, but we can't stand for abusing women. That's just wrong. I just can't, good conscience, go with that.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know who that is? That's a man with morals. And that's the reason why we like him here on InfoWars. All right, folks. Don't go anywhere. I'm still fired up and so much more to discuss in just a bit.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's, I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's just InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Breaking story coming out of Georgia that I'm going to dive into in just a second. Folks, a lot's happening all around the country. We're going to keep diving into it. Sarah Gonzalez did an incredible job at confronting all of the politicians that you and I both strongly dislike. But she's done an incredible job at that, and I will be playing those clips for you in just a bit, which I'm looking forward to. We'll also be joined by Kevin Smith in the third hour of the program as well, because we got a lot to react to there. To look forward to his commentary, but this just came in now and it's happening right now over just the news. It's a new report that shows that guess what we told you about for quite some time now. Fannie Willis, the Georgia prosecutor, plotted to go after President Trump, was working closely with both Biden's DOJ, the J6 Democrats, and so many more who were again looking to take down President Trump. This latest story again just dropped moments ago, so we're kind of sifting through it. But again, what did we tell you? Well, we told you that they were working together, and that's according to Just the News right now. It's part of over 8,000 documents that have been obtained through the Georgia's Open Records Law litigation that's been ongoing. It reveals that there was an extensive amount of coordination between the Fulton County DA's office and the Biden DOJ, the Biden White House, and the House J6 Committee. Now, of course, folks, this had everything to do with them building their case against President Donald Trump, that RICO case, which obviously should have never happened in the first place. But key details include President Trump waiving executive privilege in 2022 letter to allow Willis's team to interview President Trump. That's one of the documents they've now obtained. They also have obtained that the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, bailed $2,000 for a November 2022 meeting with the White House. Now, we reported that too extensively, so that's nothing new. We got a hold of the invoices that he was sending over and released that. So, again, we knew that was all happening. The documents also suggest the close ties with Willis's prosecution's office and the Democratic efforts. The Georgia election interference case against Trump was initially dismissed in 2025, again, for disqualifications due to misconduct, which, and if you guys know, was Fannie Willis hiring her lover, who she tried to deny and tried to say, oh, no, it had nothing to do with it. He was somebody who was unqualified to take on the case anyway, had no real actual experience here, but, you know, when you sleep with a boss, you get whatever you want, and, of course, without the expense of taxpayers. But there you go. They're dropping new documents. I hope we get our hands on those too, because nothing completely bombshell, because we've already known about a lot of this for quite some time, but it's everything we suspected. So there's that. So folks, no surprise there. The political hit job being exposed and still the DOJ arresting zero. Nobody. But you're told to be happy with the fact that no one's been arrested. Just keep waiting. Getting tired of waiting around. All right, folks, we've got a lot more to discuss in the third hour of the show. So buckle up. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have an incredible sale going on right now. It's a flash sale, both methylene blue and red right now. So the discounts are very, very impressive, I must say myself. And when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com, we're helping keeping us on air. That is very important, of course, because, well, you're helping our future operations and future projects. And when you support us, we want to support your health. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have supplements, we have apparel, and so much more. And it's by far some of the best supplements you're ever going to find. I'm telling you, the quality is amazing. I know we have callers who call into the show all the time, and they keep talking about it. I don't even have to ask them. I mean, those are natural, authentic stories about how the supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com have changed their lives. So if you're looking to make a lot of improvements on your health, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the best way to improve your health without having to rely on big pharma. Plus, you're supporting our work in exposing nothing but the truth. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you head on over and download the app. AlexJonesApp.com is where you go to do just that. Again, we never know when those doors are going to lock. We know that they're trying their very best to take us down, and it could be any day now. This is how you stay in touch with us. Don't miss out. Head on over to AlexJonesApp.com and make sure you download the app.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. All right, before I kick off my next segment, I actually want to do something because I just got an email from one of you all at home right now. And I want to make sure you guys aren't falling for scams. Someone keeps pretending to be me. They will follow you on X. I don't know why, and I really hope you guys don't fall for this. Sadly, I know some have already, and it breaks my heart every time. But there's people out there who are making these fake Twitter accounts. They're pretending to be me and other people as well. This isn't just me. This happens to a bunch of us in this space. And they're pretending to follow you, and it's a private account, and they try to move you over to Telegram. And then they pretend to engage in a romantic relationship and then ask you to send flowers and ask for money. In one instance, too, they asked for not only flowers, but they also asked for a loan, claiming that I was divorced and my husband locked me out of my account and I needed this person to send me funds. Unfortunately, I don't have an ex-husband, so you don't have to worry about that. But also, I don't use Telegram, so you'll never get any messages like that. I only use one Twitter account. It's at Brianna Morello, and make sure the spelling is correct. I try my best to report them, but Twitter doesn't take them down quick enough. But folks at home, like, this is my only account. I am not going to ask you for money. I will never ask you for money. I don't need your money, unless, of course, you want to buy some great gear over at thealexjonesstore.com. But I could promise you, or subscribe as well to my Twitter page. But I could promise you, I am not going to ask you to send me flowers. So please do not fall for any of these scams. It's heartbreaking when people do. They even send AI-generated videos pretending to be me. I don't think they look real, but sadly others have fallen for it. And it's not just me. This is other people online who are also dealing with it. I know Hard Meat Dylan's constantly posting, like, don't follow this page, don't... It's frustrating. If you think you're talking to me, you're probably talking to a man who lives in a fort in India, and it is not me. So again, I will never bother you. I will never ask you for money. I will never DM you. Not my style. Not my style at all. So make sure you don't fall for the scam. All right, speaking of scams, we have a lot of politicians out there that are fraudsters. And, well, there's one brave woman stepping up to the plate to go after them. That brave woman is Miss Sarah Gonzalez. And I was with her in D.C. just the other day. And I was very, very impressed with her. She does an incredible job. And if you don't follow her on X, you're really missing out. But she does a great job at confronting people, and they don't really like it. They don't like it at all. But since she was heading to D.C., she decided to bring some gifts with her to a lot of the politicians that both you and I do not like. Take a listen to clip 4.
It isn't often that I make it here to D.C., but I'm here. And while I was here, I thought, why not visit some of our favorite representatives and deliver some gifts? Love to visit other Texans when I'm in D.C., so I decided to take a stroll over to Tony Gonzalez's office, and we thought we might bring some very useful tidbits for him. Fire safety pamphlet, what to do if your staffer slash mistress catches fire. It's got some very useful information here. Fire spread in seconds, panic makes it worse. Stay calm, stop, drop, and roll, and continue running for Congress, apparently. We've also got a fire blanket here, because you never can be too prepared if you're Tony Gonzalez. Let's see if he likes it. Hi, knock, knock. I was just seeing if the representative was here. Yeah, actually, there is. I just wanted to leave a, considering he's probably not going to stop being a real piece of shit and sexually harassing his staffers and driving them to set themselves on fire, I thought I would bring him a fire safety pamphlet. You just go ahead and just... I'm not recording this well. Well, I also have this fire blanket just in case, because I don't think he's going to stop. He clearly isn't going to resign. So I just wanted you guys to be prepared in case there was anyone else at risk. I think it's time. Does he ask everyone if they do anal? Is that like a interview question that he asks, or was it just Regina?
Yeah, I'm happy to take those from you. And we appreciate your coming by, but unfortunately, we can't have government office here on official business. So.
Okay. Was it official business when he was sexually harassing his staffer? Was it official business when he was asking her to send nudes? No comment. Are there any other women in the office that are at risk?
No.
Okay. Well, if you could make sure that he gets this, because I don't want anyone else getting hurt, that would be great. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Please tell him everyone in Texas wants him to resign. Decided to also stop by Pramila Jayapal's office. She just recently came out with a trans bill of rights. Which rights they don't have, I'm not quite sure, but she seems to be a little confused about basic biology. So we decided to bring her a book. Let's dumb it down. Who has what? All about girls' bodies and boys' bodies. Let's see if maybe she understands. Hi. Is the congresswoman here? No? Okay. Well, I just wanted to stop by and drop off this book for her. I think that there might be just a little confusion on basic biology, so I thought I would just, stick to basics, who has what, all about girls' bodies and boys' bodies. It explains it really, really well so that she is really clear on it. Perfect. Thank you so much. Obviously had to take a trip to Stacey Plaskett's office from the Virgin Islands, and we did, of course, bring her a gift as well. We've got a picture of Stacey and Jeffrey Epstein, who apparently is her favorite constituent, so it's labeled as such, hearts, because it was a very loving relationship that Stacey had with Jeffrey. In fact, they were great texting buddies, apparently, so let's see if she appreciates the gift. Wouldn't you know, a Democrat not working on taxpayer time. I guess we'll just leave it for her. Right there on top of the Washington Post, so she can definitely get it. All right, out here in front of Ilhan Omar's office, and decided to just bring her a one-way ticket back to Somalia on Mogadishu Airlines. Go home, don't come back. And it's a long trip, I hear. So I'm told Somalians are all about bananas and rice. Bananas and rice, bananas and rice.
To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice. And it's kind of like the bananas and rice. That's what it's like to be Somali and American. It's like that combination of banana and rice.
Brought her a snack to keep her from being too hungry on the way. And since it's such a long journey and you're going back to Somalia and hopefully never returning, I decided to, bring you a picture of you and your loved ones, specifically your brother, husband. I think that's who that is, right, Ilhan? Anyway, let's go give her gifts. Wow. Would you look at that? Another Democrat congressperson using your tax dollars, and not even at work, but this one, let's see if I can slide it under the door maybe. I don't want her to miss that flight. I know you love him, so of course we had to stop by and say hi to everyone's fake ghetto hood rat, Jasmine Crockett, and I have a notice for her. You got a pink slip, Jasmine. Notice of termination of employment on November 3rd, 2026. It's because you're an embarrassment and you're a fake ghetto hood rat, actually a spoiled rich kid from Missouri. You can find your final paycheck and benefit information here. And if you do have any questions, please do not reach out. We do not want to hear you speaking anymore. You've been an embarrassment for our state long enough. Also, don't run for Senate. Save yourself the time and the energy. Go do something else. Let's see if she's home. It says welcome. Please come in. Appointments only. Please knock. A little conflicting information there, but it's a Democrat. What do you expect? Hi.
Hi.
Is the Congresswoman here?
She's not available
right now. Okay.
Can I take a message?
Sure. Yeah, actually you can give this to her. This is actually a pink slip from the state of Texas because we don't like her and don't want her to run for Senate.
Okay, well thank you.
We look forward to her retirement. Thank you so much. Have a great one. All this gift giving, all this walking around has made me really thirsty, so we decided to stop by the bar. Bar's closed, I guess. We'll have to get a drink somewhere else. I was reliably informed she's the best bartender in town. I don't know where she is.
That is my girl, Miss Sarah Gonzalez. And she didn't stop there. You can find her on X, by the way. Sarah Gonzalez, TX, where you can find her on X. But she didn't stop there. She had a very busy... I mean, we were hanging out. It was me, her, Tommy Robinson. We were hanging out, and she was telling the stories. And it goes... The video is significantly longer, too, if you want to head on over there and check it out. But I can't believe the guts in that girl. She really is a gutsy girl. It didn't end there. She also, yesterday, made her way over to a Joy Reid protest. Now, if you wonder how one of those goes, well, not so well if you're somebody with opposing views. They're not very welcoming. And, well, Sarah found out in clip 5. Take a listen.
The man who
had to hurry was the homie to go and- Joy Reid, you suck! You're a loser! MSNBC fired you because you're a loser! You suck! America first, you can't even get a sizable crowd! No one's here! It's empty! It's empty! You're all mentally ill! You're simping for a criminal! He is a criminal! He is a criminal!
No, hey, just
he is a, yes.
Stop. You know who are you?
What?
Stop.
What do you mean? Do I know who you are? Why are you simping for illegal criminals?
No, why are you distracted?
Because I think you guys are losers.
No, I think you are stumped. Why are you here? This is not your event.
Okay, it's a free country, isn't it? Is it a free country? You want to know who the fascists are? You guys are the fascists. You guys are the fascists.
I don't need any arguments right now. No fighting. They're having their demonstration. Just let it be. There's no need to cause commotion right now at all. You have an opinion? That's perfectly fine. Take it elsewhere. They organized this. You did not. Understand? Over here.
Yeah, I'm walking. Oh my god. I'm trying to walk. Excuse me. Wow. My tax dollar is at work. My tax dollar is at work. These police officers getting in my face.
Yeah, I don't think that is the appropriate way to handle that. You know, in this country we have free speech, and just because someone signs up to do a protest doesn't mean that you don't have a right to go there if you have opposing views. That is fascism, by the way. But they won't talk about that. They never seem to do. But Sarah's, you know, got guts. She's got a lot of guts. And she was doing incredible reporting yesterday on the ground, and it didn't just end there too. This is my, like, obsession of Sarah Gonzalez segment at this point. But at clip six, she also did an incredible job when somebody with the opposing view came her way. She, instead of, you know, chasing them out and saying that they can't talk, they can't be there, she didn't do that. She, in fact, decided to give them the opportunity to speak their mind in clip six. Take a listen.
And like I said, the participants who are here aren't even really sure, you know, why they're here. They have these signs that they're being handed. There are several iterations of that. Oh, that's okay. What's your sign say?
Don't erase us.
Can't erase us. Is Donald Trump trying to erase you?
As a queer person,
yeah.
I feel as though Donald Trump poses a distinct threat to queer identities around the country because we are unable to fully express ourselves without fear of
fully expressing yourself.
Harmed, both socially and legally.
What is the policy that harms queer people?
I think there are a lot right now. There are a lot of incursions nationally on queer bodies, and what we're able to do.
What do you mean by incursions?
Incursions meaning there are a lot of limitations right now on what queer people can do with their bodies. I know that it's
like they can't chop off their body parts.
It's a frequent talking point to discuss chopping off body parts. As an adult myself, who is also not transgender, I can't really say that that applies to me whatsoever. I do fear for children, because I know many, having grown up in many queer communities, that's not really what's going on. Children aren't being allowed to chop off their body parts. Some are being allowed to use hormone blockers, which there are varying studies on, but mostly hormone blockers have been used for decades.
And they sterilize an entire generation?
Certainly not, actually. Puberty blockers have been used in children for decades who have puberty disorders or who have challenges otherwise. They are safe. They are
I appreciate your time, ma'am. The detransitioners would disagree with
less
you
than 1%
they would disagree with you. So anyway, so this is these are the buzzwords that we're hearing here at the Joy Reid rally.
You know, at least Sarah gave her the opportunity to speak her mind. Unfortunately, she was factually incorrect, and so you do have to jump in on that and push back a bit. But yes, folks, it's absolutely a BS lie that they're pretending like they're not chopping off their body parts. We know that they are. We know that they're getting their breasts removed. We know that they're having genital mutilation operations. And so to sit there and pretend like that's not happening maybe makes her feel better about the cause she's supporting or thinks she's supporting, but clearly she is not well informed and doesn't like the pushback. Now again, imagine yourself in freezing cold weather, going there to support this, what you see on your screen here, children chopping up their bodies and pretending to be the opposite gender. Again, we talk about it all the time here on InfoWars. What they've done to these children is absolutely egregious, and it obviously shouldn't be taking place in the first place, but here we are. Here we are. We are dealing with people who are, some of them I'd say, are good-hearted people who truly believe that they're doing something that is for the better, but they don't actually know what they're talking about. And that's what you see there. I don't think she's a bad person. I think she's just somebody who's ill-informed and really doesn't really know what she's talking about. And what the heck does queer even mean? Nobody could actually explain that when you ask them what queer actually means. As a female, you're either, well, I mean, there's only one way to live life, of course, but you're either straight or you're gay. And so this whole queer nonsense to me is just absolutely foolish. But Sarah Gonzalez giving people a platform on her platform to speak their mind. And unfortunately, they are ill-informed and unable to hold up an argument. They get very emotional, just storm off, as you saw there. But good on her. Good on her. She did incredible reporting. And so again, follow her on X. Follow her on X. Sarah Gonzalez, TX is where you can find her. And she's also on Instagram as well and does a great job there. All right, folks, let's catch you up on some news stories that I think are interesting. You know, the left had no problem legally surveilling Americans, and they usually, for the most part, don't even speak out on the issue. But now, since the roles have reversed, they are doing their very best to go after the federal government for what they deem is illegal surveillance. And of course, I'm somebody who is strongly against the government surveilling its citizens, but they don't speak out on the issues when it happens to those on the other side. So keep that in the back of your minds when you hear about this class action lawsuit. There's a class action lawsuit that has just been filed against DHS, and it's been filed in Maine. It's accusing DHS, led by Secretary Kristi Noem, of violating the First Amendment by using facial recognition and license plate reader technology to surveil those who are going to protest. Now, they're saying that this is taking place at places like Portland and other areas, And they're claiming that it happened on January 21st and January 23rd. Now, the plaintiffs, again, are claiming they're being represented by Protect Democracy, which always sounds good until you actually look at how they're being funded and who's supporting them. They're saying that DHS is illegally scanning their faces, their plates, and they're creating a database. Now, again, I am 100% against just that. But hear me out. Why are they all of a sudden now talking about this? I mean, this is a battle we've been fighting for many, many years, even me suing TSA over illegally surveilling Americans and creating these databases. So now they want to get involved. Why? Because they're on the other side of all of this. Now, again, all of a sudden they have problems with a license plate reading. Folks, we saw it firsthand in Minnesota. They are scanning the license plates of people who are driving down the street. Even Jorge, we had just had on the show, his Uber driver who was driving him had his plate scanned. And guess what they did? They confronted him to see who he was. I mean, these lefties utilize these same resources when it's for their own personal advantages. But now they don't want the federal government doing it to them because they don't want to be on the receiving end of all of that. Listen, I'm 100% against the government illegally surveilling on so many. But again, this is their own doing. They had no problem when this was happening to conservative Americans, so I won't be jumping on board and helping back their claims now. I'll just, of course, report on it and let you know how this lawsuit goes. But piss off, libs. That's where I go on that one. They have no problem doing it to other people. They have no problem encouraging what has happened to conservatives. Now, all of a sudden, they want to be the victim in all of this. So screw them. In other word news, speaking about screwing them, the DOJ, I'm having too much fun today. Over at the DOJ, they have just recently terminated a New York immigration judge. Now, apparently she's a female. Bear with me. If you look at the images, I don't know if that's a biological female, but the individual, the name is going to be so hard for me to pronounce, but we'll just kind of wing it. Vivi, I don't even know what that means. Yurkapa, I don't even know what that means. I probably butchered that. It's not even the real thing, but she is a judge, a New York immigration judge in New York. She was just canned. Why? Well, because she was granting about 97% of the asylum claims that came before her. Now remember, folks, asylum is one of the hardest things to get approval for. So when someone's approving at a 97% rate, there's something very wrong with that. Very, very wrong. This firing aligns with what the Trump agenda has been from day one, of course, and that they are done with these immigration judges that are completely using these courts to push their own agenda rather than push the agenda of the law. I mean, the law is literally clear as day, and they just continue to ignore it. By the way, you don't even need a law degree or a law license to get into all of this. You could actually just with a college degree become an immigration judge. And if you're someone at home right now who's looking to possibly fight back on all of this, possibly go head on over right now to DHS's website. They're hiring. And you could be the individual to mass deport all of these illegal aliens yourself. I highly recommend you do. So far, the DOJ has fired 100 judges in President Trump's term. And I think that's great news. Great news. So if you're looking for work, become an immigration judge and help lead the efforts to deporting these scumbags from our country. All right, let's get you a little update in regards to Don Lemon. Don Lemon is being sued by a woman who was actually at that church that we saw in St. Paul, Minnesota. Remember when he decided to burst right in to church services on Sunday and decided to hold it? He called it an operation, and he claims that he was just reporting on that operation, but we all know what that really means. Well, now there's a woman who is suing, in fact, and she's suing for emotional damage. Good for her. Piss off, Don Lemon. You try paying those criminal court fees and now the civil court. She alleges that Lemon and the group unlawfully interfered with her right to freely exercise her religion of, well, private place of worship. And I'm on board for this. Yes, you should. You should go after these scumbags. See, here's the problem, right? Because Don Lemon never spoke out when it was happening to other people. You know, when people were protesting peacefully outside of abortion clinics and then they were being targeted by the Biden regime, he never spoke out. So I'm all on board for this. Sue Don Lemon, dry him out in civil court with all of his legal fees, whether or not they extract any funds from him. I don't even care. Make him pay for those fees. Make him pay for those attorneys, both criminal and civil. See, he's a scumbag who never actually spoke out on behalf of all Americans. Instead, he is a political activist who just goes out there and does his very best to align with his political agenda. And so no surprise, again, that he is now, you know, trying to play the victim in all of this. But good news, he's being sued, and I hope there's more. I hope they all file their own. Not class action. Don't do class action. This is my non-legal legal advice as someone who's not an attorney. Don't file a class action lawsuit because it's too easy for them. Individual lawsuits are the way to go with all of this. Folks, I want to put this article on your radar. There's a new story about colostrum. As many of you guys know, we sell it at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's talking about how hot it is right now. I'm talking about how popular it is. I know the president's always saying the country is hot right now. We're in the hottest country in the world. Okay. Colostrum is actually being referred to as liquid gold because of all the benefits that it does have, in fact. And so right now there's a New York Post article that just recently was released, and it goes over the benefits of colostrum. Now, again, we sell this over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you want to indulge in this liquid gold, head on over right now. It helps, obviously, with your digestive tract and so much more. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and grab some.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Final lap of the third hour. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. All right. I'm loving these confrontation videos. You know, I was in Washington, D.C., and some of my favorite people were also on the ground there, and they were confronting some of the worst politicians that we have currently in the swamp. And Alison Steinberg has been doing an incredible job over at Lindell TV confronting these scumbags. And Ilhan Omar, I think she actually kind of likes Alison a little bit. And it's hard not to like Alison because she's such a beautiful young woman. But most importantly, she comes armed with the facts. And if you're a liar like Ilhan Omar is, well, it's really hard to combat just that. Well, she tried her best in clip 13. Take a listen.
Hi, Congresswoman Omar. You were just talking about how Trump's economy has failed the American people, but I think the American people really want to know how you went from a negative 65,000 before coming into Congress to over $30 million in just 7 years.
My disclosure is public now.
Yeah, it is. And so a lot of people now are looking into that and finding Eschew Winery, a winery that doesn't actually seem to exist. Is that a real winery or?
Do you all actually look at and read things or do you just ask silly questions?
Well, it's listed in the financial disclosure, so can you explain it? Because we have a lot of questions about it and things just aren't adding up. There's no real phone number. There's no real location.
Did you want to bite some wine?
Probably not from you, to be honest. You recently stated that the American people should be afraid of the white man. They should be fearful of the white man.
I never said that.
Yeah, you're on video saying it.
Our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. Oh, I did not.
Yes, you...
What? Again, this is like what I said. You need to prepare yourself because you can't continue embarrassing yourself like this.
So I'm just a liar. What
I was quoting was an actual study done by the FBI.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Prepare next time.
All right. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Oh, man. She really doesn't like the facts when you hit her directly with just that. Joining me to discuss is Kevin Smith. He's the host of The Loud Majority, and he's with us now to react to not just Ilhan Omar, but other scumbags as well. So it's a pleasure to have Kevin back on the program. All right, Kevin, you know, Alison did a great job at holding these corrupt politicians' feet to the fire. She's confronting them. And then Ilhan Omar's rebuttal is just so pathetic and stupid that she's like, oh, you don't have all of your facts. Ma'am, it is a public disclosure. These are the facts, and we're trying to get in contact with the wine company that you claim to be part owner of. But for some strange reason, we can't find a way to purchase wine. So weird. But apparently Alison doesn't have the facts. I mean, what's going on here?
You know, it's so weird. I mean, I have a website. You have a website. If you wanted to get something from me, you could just ask and I would tell you where to get it from. But apparently Ilhan Omar can't even name the fake website of the fake company that she owns. It's very odd. And then at the end of that clip, when she says, I never said that about white people. She went from, I didn't say that to, I was quoting an FBI study in about 9 steps. So that was a pretty good U-turn she made right there. But I think Alison did a great job. She's doing a great job, really confronting these people on their nonsense.
Yeah. And you know, what's so great about all of this is Ilhan Omar, even at the State of the Union yesterday, was doing her best to get really angry with President Trump. But she was quiet when President Trump brought up the Somalian fraudsters, the Somalian pirates. I love when he did that. They're Somalian pirates that are robbing us blind here in the country right now. And obviously that's going to infuriate her. But she didn't have a rebuttal then either. I mean, you know, this is the crazy part in all of this, Kevin. She'll go out there and she'll drop all of these just insane comments and go after people. But she's got nothing to back up these claims that she continuously makes. Your thoughts on just the endless lies that spew out of this woman's mouth?
Well, first off, I want to give a big shout out to the cameraman who knew to cut directly to Ilhan Omar when President Trump brought up Somali pirates. That guy deserves a raise, whoever's doing that. But, you know, Democrats know that their feet are never going to be held to the fire. They know that Republicans don't seem to have a lot of fight in them. And I think that's what's incredibly frustrating. They just make things up as they go along. And they know that there's going to be no repercussions for this. We're going to hear about endless investigations, but nothing's ever going to happen with her fake winery or her brother husband or allegedly or anything that she's done wrong. And because of the enclaves that have been created in this country due to illegal immigration, she knows she's in a a safe seat. She's not going to be voted out. So she can just continue the fraud all she wants, knowing that nothing's going to happen to her.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem here. And, you know, here in Texas, when we don't like someone, we actually just redistrict and we draw off their little district like we did with Jasmine Crockett. I hope we do that. But again, I don't think we have enough authority to just write her off the map right now. I just can't stand Ilhan Omar. She should have been deported. I don't know why we still haven't gone after her. The president continuously goes up and brings her up. But it just sounds like rage bait because we don't do anything about her. And we need to do just that. Kevin, I want to pivot a little bit and go to another brave individual over at Lindell TV, Kara Castronova. She does an incredible job as well as holding people's feet to the fire. And she went after Jamie Raskin. As many of you guys know, he is the Democrat who continuously has gone out there and spewed lies about the J6ers, but most importantly, continues to go out there and pretend like he cares about the sexual assault survivors of Jeffrey Epstein. And he does just that again when speaking with Castronova. Take a listen to clip 14.
So they're blocking me right now. Congressman, why did it take you 5 years to care about these victims? Is it politically popular now? Why did it take you five years?
Do your homework.
5 years ago, you were asking for the release of the Epstein files. You're using these women as a political football. You don't have a statement, Congressman? You don't think that it's really tacky to use women's stories to get political clout? Because it's really obvious to the American people that it's very fraudulent. Congressman, why weren't you fighting for the Epstein victims 5 years ago? Do you believe that the American people see through you? Are you looking forward to Bill and Hillary Clinton's testimony? Do you think they should go to jail if they committed crimes, sir? The President of the United States, Bill Clinton, who will be testifying? Congressman, why do your staffers obstruct journalists and get in their way? Your staffer stood right in front of me and tried to obstruct me. He's making a run for it. Jamie Raskin is making a run.
Oh my gosh. Kevin, they're so afraid of a female, Kara Castronova. I mean, she is a professional fighter, but I mean, come on, she's not that intimidating.
I was going to say, I got news for you. I'm afraid of Kara Castronova too. anyone who knows Kara knows she's not one to mess with. But it is. And I think this is what is so frustrating. And part of what's frustrating about this Epstein story in general is that Democrats are clearly using it as the political football. Look, it's an important story and it needs to be exposed. And everyone who did wrongdoing should face just consequences for that. But Democrats woke up like 10 minutes ago and realized, oh, there's an Epstein story here. When people have been talking about this for decades at this point, decades upon decades, that these things were happening. They knew Bill Clinton was involved. They knew people like Les Wexner were involved. They knew Prince Andrew. And it seems as though this is just politically expedient for them. And that's what frustrates me the most about it, is the fake outrage from and look, there's a lot of people out there who are justifiably outraged, and they've been on this case for quite some time. But people like Jamie Raskin, they're just political opportunists.
Yeah, and that's the key point in all of this. It's so frustrating to sit back and watch them as they go out there and do that. And the fact that he hasn't been held accountable, I mean, he's been spewing lies from day one in regards to not only the Epstein files, but the January 6th committee. I mean, that guy was a part of a massive scandal, and some would also argue criminal, given the fact that they've erased a lot of the evidence that was supposed to be left over, but they decided to just mass delete it. Again, these are all scumbags who need to be handled, but unfortunately, we don't really have an administration looking to do just that right now, it seems like. So, I mean, we'll keep watching, but, you know, let's change topics a little bit. Let's talk about 2028, because those on the left really don't have much in the way of candidates to push forward as legitimate candidates to possibly become president of the United States. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Kamala Harris. She's actually still floating the idea that she might actually run again. Again, guys, take a listen to clip 15.
Okay. Will you run again?
I haven't decided.
You're still thinking about it.
I might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying. That's what I closed the book and I'm like, oh, she wants to. She's just thinking about it. If that was my impression. I don't know if that's what you intended, but that was my impression.
No, the book is about a specific period in time. There was no agenda beyond what we've discussed already, which is just sharing with people, you know, the reality of the experience and hopefully allowing people to see something of themselves.
All right, do it. Do it. Run, Kamala. We could use it. Oh, man, Kevin, this would be the best. Yeah.
I'm begging you, Kamala Harris, run again, please. just do it. I think this is a spectacular idea. I think she should pick Tim Walz again. I think we should just have a complete redo. Please. Imagine the level of self-delusion you must have to lose one of the biggest presidential landslides in history and go, you know what? I think I need another crack at that. I just, please make it happen. Whoever Ed Martin over there at the DNC, let her do it, please.
Yeah, I mean, we're all pushing for it. I know I am, and I'm really hoping that she does run. It would be great for the American people to see it again and again and again. For those who are political commentators, though, it's endless content, so I'm on board for it. Listen, they don't even really have a team right now. They're really struggling to get by. You know, it's not Kamala Harris. It might be who? Like Gavin Newsom. I mean, and he's so bad. Let's highlight Gavin Newsom for a second, too, because I think the American people are very well aware as to his efforts to destroy California. He's done a great job at that. It's probably the only good thing he's done. He set out the goal, and I like California, so I'm not wishing this on them, but set out the goal of destroying California. He's committed to that, and he's done just that. But I want to play this clip because this one got a lot of people fired up, and I don't know why minority voters aren't waking up on this one, but he is trying his best to, and they always do this on the left, they always pretend like, I'm one of you, I'm very relatable. And he does that by saying that he's not very intelligent, couldn't really pass his SATs. Take a listen to clip 16.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And, you know, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
All right. So, I mean, I'm not great at reading teleprompters. That's why I don't host a show with a teleprompter. But I don't brag about that on air. And I'm also not running for higher office. And I'm also not going to try to position myself to run for president. But Kevin, I'm also not going to go to a group of black people and use my, my illiteracy to kind of be like level headed with them and try to say, I'm one of you. I struggle with reading too. Kevin, I'll let you take it away.
Just like you, I can't read. Like how, even Dr. Cornel West, who is like a radical communist black nationalist, came out and was like, well, did you just say that? Also, Gavin, I've got a quick question. If you can't read and you're assuming that black people can't read while in California, you know who could probably do something about that? The governor of California. You could probably do something about the education system. But apparently Gavin is like catering to the lowest common denominator by like, oh, look, I'm just like you. I'm an idiot. Instead of like trying to get people to ascend. And also, Gavin, you're not like us just because you can't read. Like there's a photo of you going door to door with the two heirs to the Getty fortune. I do not have that photograph. I'm not like that. I didn't have a silver spoon. The attempt to be relatable when they're not is one of the most annoying things that politicians do. I think that's why people like Trump as much as they do, because he's just himself every day and he doesn't care who else is in the room. But the fake relatability, it's nauseating.
It is nauseating, but they still keep pushing it. And that's the problem here, right? Because Gavin Newsom actually considers himself to be a 2028 candidate at some point. I mean, it's very obvious, right? He's traveling all around the world too, and he's trying to position himself for that. I mean, even just a couple of years ago, meeting with the Chinese, the CCP leader, the dictator, trying his best to look presidential. It would be really bad for him if he ran, but I don't think they even have any shame on the left. And, it's getting so bad that those clear winners. I mean, those people who would be not clear winners. I shouldn't say that. That sounds really bad. The people who would position themselves to potentially pitch these ideas are going out there and screaming from the top of the ceilings, top of the roofs, I guess would be the saying. Sorry, I'm just like Gavin Newsom. That this is a bad, bad idea. And I want to play this clip for you because CNN is even saying, Gavin, you can't do it. In clip 17, take a listen.
They're all running, and this is just a downright clown car at this point on the Democratic side. I mean, just take a look here. Top choices for the 2028 Dempres nominee. You have a leader, but it's not really a clear leader. It's within the margin of error. You have Newsom at 19%. Then you have former Vice President Kamala Harris at 18%. Quite a weak number for her, given that, of course, she was the nominee last time around. Pete Buttigieg, who, of course, has run before, 13%. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at 12%. This is just a total clown car. It is a total mess. There is no clear front runner at this particular point on the Democratic side. Who the heck knows who the nominee is going to be in two years?
It's been a long time since we've had a Democratic race like this.
Yeah, it has been a long time. This is very unusual for the Democratic side to not have a clear front runner at this point. National early poll leader at least 25%. Look at this. This year, we get the giant question mark. No one. In 2020, when there was no incumbent, it was Joe Biden who was there, Hillary Clinton in both 08 and 16, and Al Gore in both 2000 and 2004 at this point, were at least at 25% of the early polls. You have to go all the way back from when I wasn't even in elementary school yet, not even in pre-K yet, to 1992. That was the last cycle in which there was no clear front runner at this point. Very unusual.
To be clear, this isn't predicted because she didn't win in this primary and he didn't run, but this gives you a sense of a year out. So what about Newsom? What are the prediction markets saying his odds are?
Yeah, okay. So it seems to me that...
Okay, so obviously it's not looking well for them, Kevin. I want you to kind of elaborate on where you think this is going to go in 2028 because none of those candidates that they're pitching are actual clear winners.
Well, you know, this is what happens when you have a part. And look, Gavin Newsom, from a purely political perspective, should be running away with this. He is without a doubt the smoothest politician, and that's not a compliment, I've ever seen in my life. He can get out of any corner you put him in. He's got the fundraising. He's got the name recognition. But you've got a Democratic base who have spent the last two decades demonizing straight white men. So what party is going to vote for that when you have, according to those numbers, a gay guy, a black woman, a Latino woman running second, third, and fourth? So Gavin Newsom may be the Democrats' best choice in a general election, but I don't see him getting out of a jungle primary on the Democratic side. It just, the base is not going to vote for a straight white guy. They're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it happening either. And I mean, he'll probably identify maybe as bisexual just to kind of win that one, Kevin. But that actually might be believable.
I don't know if that would be identifying. I think that would just be, that might be the first time he's been honest. But, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Listen, I think you're right, Kevin. He gets better Botox than I do. And so that's usually a serious indicator that we might have a gay one. There you go. Look at that shiny forehead.
Exactly. I can't look at him without thinking about American Psycho. Like, I just hear Phil Collins playing in the background every time that guy talks. He looks just like, these are real photos. I guess maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to look like Christian Bale, but, you know, maybe pick a different movie.
Kevin Smith, thank you for joining us. It's always a good time to catch up with you and have you on the program. So we greatly appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you as always. He's the host of The Loud Majority. So make sure you follow him as well. He gives me a good laugh. And so we always appreciate having him on the program. All right, folks, I want to bring your attention. I just put up a tweet. This was yesterday, reminding the people what we fought for. And I say it all the time on this show, so I know you're aware of it. But in case you didn't know, this one's blowing up a little bit. So I figured we might as well bring your attention to it. I had to sue TSA and I've won that lawsuit, but my lawsuit payout's not going very well. Why? Well, here's why. DHS currently is in a shutdown right now. So, and I can't believe this even happened, but Republicans actually allowed the funding bill to go through, which temporarily would fund DHS, but it was only for a couple of weeks. Well, now DHS has dried up out of funds and they're hoping that Congress signs some bills to get them some funding. Again, these are our ICE agents. I don't know why Republicans thought this was a good idea to do this, to not give them full funding and instead create a hold-off date. Okay. But what does this have to do with my lawsuit? Well, I won my lawsuit, but I don't actually win money when I sue. When I do the FOIA request and I go after the government, I am only just hoping to recoup the legal fees, which actually are thousands and thousands of dollars. It's anywhere from like 20 grand to possibly 30 grand sometimes. It depends on the lawsuit. Well, I won my lawsuit against TSA. as a result of winning that lawsuit against TSA for failing to comply with my FOIA request, they are forced to pay my legal fees. And so TSA owes my lawyer a lot of money, a lot of cash. But they're saying they can't cough it up because they're in the middle of a shutdown. Oh, how convenient. How convenient. But to be fair, though, the Trump administration has been great to me, and they've given me documents that I've requested the Biden regime failed to do. And if you're looking at this document right now, wondering, what do we have on your screen right now? Well, let me explain. The Biden regime decided to let in a bunch of illegal aliens, millions of them. Now, if you're wondering who they let into this country, like many of us are, I'm here to tell you literally convicted pedophiles. And here's my proof. When illegal aliens were being brought into the airports and being allowed to board commercial airlines, I was scratching my head wondering, well, how are we doing that? How are we allowing this to happen? What identification are they showing to get in and get onto those flights? Well, of course, it's not the type of identification that you and I would have to present. No, 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 no. If you were a convicted pedophile or rapist in another country and you wanted to come to the United States, the Biden regime thought it was okay to let you in. And DHS actually provided, again, this isn't happening anymore. Let me be clear. Christina wouldn't allow this to slide. But if you were someone who was a convicted sex offender, they let you into the country. And all they asked you to do was take sexual deviance courses and also register as a convicted sex offender. And if you're wondering how they enforce, well, they asked you to check off this box and sign it. And they were hoping you were being honest when doing just that. Now, those documents were later utilized as forms of ID to allow these illegal invaders to board commercial airlines like you and I and to fly around the country. But the big difference here, they didn't have to show photo ID. You and I, us peasants under the Biden regime, had to show photo IDs, real IDs. They grill us. They ask you a bunch of questions. They hope to take your biometrics. They could store it in the database illegally, of course. But they did their very best to do just that. It wasn't until I sued DHS and ICE did we finally learn this information. And again, the Biden regime was pushing back in court and was hoping not to hand it over. Once the Trump administration took over, they slid those documents my way. And so right now we're exposing just that. I know a lot of people who haven't seen my story, my report on that, are seeing it for the first time now on X, and they're all going, how the heck did this happen? Well, it's really not a surprise at all. Our federal government went rogue under the Biden regime, and still it's not 100% back. It's not 100% fair, I'd say. I'd say we're doing a little bit better, but just a little bit, just a little bit. As you guys know, I sue the government. I do it for fun, actually. It's kind of a sport right now. I'm actually undefeated. I'm about to settle a big, big lawsuit very, very soon. I've got another one pending right now with the VA, by the way. And, well, the DOJ doesn't comply with my my FOIA request. I'll sue them, too. Why not? It would be fun to go after this current DOJ right now. But right now I've got my lawsuit pending against the VA. Why? Because, well, they decided to withhold benefits and pull back benefits from January 6th veterans before they even went to their criminal trial, before they were even convicted. It was all very strategic, because you all know the lawfare doesn't just end at filing the charges and taking people to court. No, they want to bankrupt you. And so they did that by pulling a lot of J6 vets benefits, either prior to their trial, prior to their conviction, or while they were appealing. So I wanted to know who ordered this, because it wasn't just a mistake. And in fact, when I confronted the VA for several of these vets who had their benefits pulled, the VA decided to just tell me, oh, sorry, that was a mistake. And they quickly shuffled because they know they got caught. But folks, there needs to be accountability. And in my lawsuit, because they decided not to respond to my FOIA request, they actually argued in front of a judge that because they don't have the resources to dive into emails and figure this out as to who was sending and signaling for their benefits to be terminated, that they, in fact, didn't have to comply. Well, that failed, and now they're going to have to comply. And if I get my way, they will also be paying my legal fees as well. So that's my little fun story for you all about how I like to sue the government. I'm undefeated in court, and I look forward to continuing doing that. And the DOJ will be next on the chopping block if they do not comply with my very latest FOIA request. So there's that. There's that little snippet of fun for you. All right, folks, that does it for me on this edition of The American Journal. The Alex Jones Show is next. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Like I told you all, we have a flash sale going on right now. If you're a big fan of getting rid of your brain fog, well, some of your favorite items are on sale right now. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we support you by making sure we're getting your health back in check with these incredible supplements. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives. at thealexandsword.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, 40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.